Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
Peter B. Join me every afternoon, 3 to 6, right here on KRXA 540. With great guests, hot topics, and a little humor, we help you navigate in today's world. More information, web streaming, and archives at peterbcollins.com. The Peter B. Collins Show, afternoons 3 to 6 on KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. If nothing else, these civilized oil prices are making things easier for us drivers at the gas pump. Oil analyst Peter Butel at Cameron Hamilton.
This is great news for the consumer. Every penny decline at the pump returns to American consumers $4 million per penny per day.
Oil today closed in New York at $36.56 a barrel. Chris Jarvis at Caprock Risk Management.
I think really what the market's saying is that OPEC really has no control over the price of oil. I don't think they've had it for quite some time.
He says $25 a barrel oil would not surprise him. The Federal Reserve has approved new rules for credit card companies to make plastic more affordable, bills more understandable, and no more sucker punches on interest rates. The banks say they'll need until 2010 to get it done. Gail Hillebrand at Consumers Union says that's nonsense.
I think there's some computer programming that's needed, but it shouldn't take them a year and a half to do it. And we would like to see the regulator shorten that deadline, or perhaps Congress could step in and say, get this done in 6 months.
Wall Street, the Dow down today, 219 points. NASDAQ goes off about 27. More remains have been found in Orange County, Florida, which may be those of missing 3-year-old Kaylee Anthony.
In a case that gets stranger by the day, the latest revelation is a stunner, and it involves a tip that was called in more than 4 months ago.
The tip that was received on August 13th was the same individual that reported the findings on December 11th.
In other words, the utility worker who discovered the remains here a week ago. Orange County Sheriff's Captain Angelo Nieves says now they're trying to find out exactly what the responding deputy did and how this was all followed up. More remains have been found here today, and for now, the area remains an active crime scene. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
There are two sides to the Blackwater story and the shooting of 34 Iraqis last year. The case that has five guards facing manslaughter and weapons charges. Associated Press says there are radio transcripts from the event in which for 8 minutes Blackwater guards repeatedly report incoming gunfire from insurgents and people dressed like Iraqi police. Blackwater is authorized to fire in self-defense. The list of big-time financial donors to Bill Clinton's foundation includes some who could be seen as conflicts for a new Secretary of State, CBS's Barry Bagnato.
Two nations in particular stand out on the donor list. Saudi Arabia has contributed up to $25 million, and Saudi supporters and businessmen have kicked in several million more. Contributions from individuals and groups from India also are extensive. Both countries, of course, are in hotspot regions. Would the foundation's ties with India, for instance, compromise Hillary Clinton's ability to deal with Pakistan as Secretary of State? She's sure to be asked that at her confirmation hearings.
The Bush administration's issued a new federal rule reinforcing the long-standing law that says doctors may refuse to participate in abortions. Some critics say those protections may limit a patient's rights, too. This is CBS News.
Honey, come on, we've got last-minute shopping to do.
Let's go to
Lowe's last-minute extravaganza!
A bullhorn?
Sorry, but this Thursday through Christmas Eve, we'll get 10% off major appliances, $397 or more.
Oh.
Plus, we can register for a free $10 online certificate with purchase of $100 in Lowe's gift cards and get 10% off all wet dry vacs and Kobalt tool storage chests.
Let's go to Lowe's.
I'll start the car!
Do your last-minute shopping at Lowe's this weekend to get 50% off holiday decorations. Lowe's, let's build something together. While supplies last, some restrictions apply. See store for details.
This isn't a political message. It's not a pitch from a pitch man, not brought to you by anything or anyone in particular. It's not a plea, it's not commentary. No, it's merely an idea for you to do with what you will. Let's redefine Christmas. Let's rethink how we give by replacing gifts that seem frivolous with gifts that are charitable and do more good. More on this idea at redefinechristmas.org. It's merely a website with an idea.
an audit of some of the expenses from Iraq questions some of the FBI's charges.
A new Justice Department audit finds taxpayers were billed an average $45,000 in overtime for each FBI agent temporarily posted to Iraq. The audit found nearly $8 million in improper wages between 2003 and 2007, including for time washing clothes and going to Saturday night cocktail parties. The auditor blamed faulty FBI policy, initially to get volunteers for Iraq duty, a policy no longer in place.
In Washington, CBS's John Harchie. President Bush is planning another event to make the Obama transition as smooth as possible. All living presidents are invited to a lunch at the White House next month with President-elect Barack Obama as the star attraction. He'll be able to ask questions if he's of a mind of a rarely assembled group of presidential wisdom. Jimmy Carter, Bill Clinton, George H.W. Bush will be there along with the president and Mr. Obama. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Hi, I'm Peyton Manning. What could be better than the Gear Up with Sony HD sales event? I'm not sure. Maybe handing out some of my old gear.
Wow. Hi, Peyton.
Hello.
Hi.
Brand new owner of my 06 mouthpiece? Try it on.
No.
Hey, where are you going?
You know, I think
that saliva's been to the big game.
Okay.
Well, looks like there's nothing better than saving up to $500 when you buy a Sony Bravia HD TV and a Sony Bravia theater system. Free used mouthpiece. Any takers? Step right up.
Now through December 20th, save $500 when you buy a qualifying 46 or 52-inch diagonal Sony Bravia HD TV and Sony HDX576 Bravia Theater System together. Experience unparalleled full HD 1080p picture worthy of the big game and sound to match. To learn how you can save up to $500 on the Sony Bravia HD TV and Sony Bravia Theater System, visit a participating Sony dealer or sony.com/HDNA.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to a fresh edition of the Peter B. Collins Show up and down the left coast and now coast to coast. Hello, Boston. Our New England listeners join us on AM 1510, the powerful 50,000-watt signal from Boston. And I know you can't hear me in Seattle today. There was a glitch in the system, and we've fixed it. We'll be returning to KPTK on January 3rd. You can't hear us, but spread the word anyway, will you? And your humble host appreciates the generous support of many listeners who've helped us get through a very tough economic year. If you'd like to help here at the holiday season, I'd appreciate it. Just log on to my website at peterbcollins.com and click on the tab, You Can Help. And check out the free gift that you can get. It's an exciting new novel called The Najik Pheromone, a fascinating look at truth-telling and liars. Lots to talk about on our program today. Faz Shakir will join us in just a moment from the Center for American Progress in Washington. Later this hour, Banefsha Aklagi, who is the Western Regional Director for Amnesty International, is going to talk to us about the greatest holiday gift anyone could get, restoring human rights under the U.S. Constitution. Next hour, per usual, Scott Dick, our expert on military and veterans issues, will join us. We're going to match up Barack Obama's campaign promise about the withdrawal of troops from Iraq with the plan being prepared by General Odierno. We'll also hear about Robert Gates' comments on closing Gitmo. And probably a lot more. And in our third hour today, David K. Johnston used to write about money for the New York Times. He'll be joining us to talk about the next wave of mortgage problems that will hit over the next couple of years, the Alt-A and option arms. We'll also talk about Bernie Madoff. Fortunately, I didn't have any money parked there. And the Wall Street Mirage. The profits were phony, but the bonuses were huge and real.
That's all ahead. Your phone calls are welcome. 888-5-PETER-B is my toll-free number, 888-573-8372. And my email, which I haven't gotten to yet today, so bear with me if you had an urgent message. It's peter@peterbcollins.com. Faz Shakir is Research Director at the Center for American Progress. He co-edits the Daily Progress Report. You can get it free in your email. Just log on to progressreport.org. And he also oversees the fabulous Think Progress update website. And there's always a lot of great information there. I check it frequently. Faz, how are you today?
Fine, Peter. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. And this is our last visit on the radio of the year. You do get next week off. I want to be clear about that.
Yes, sir, we do.
And I just want to take the opportunity to thank you for all your contributions to our program over this past year, as you are an amazing resource for us inside the Beltway there, and you always call them straight, Faz.
Well, thank you. You know, we've been doing this for years now, and I enjoy coming on every week, and I'm happy to report and see that you are growing and expanding.
Well, we're hanging in there, Faz. I have extra long fingernails. Well, I want to start off with the thing that is really bothering me right now, and that is Dick Cheney has been coughing up the evidence that proves, in my mind, it's not presented to a court of law, but sufficient proof that he participated in the decisions to employ torture, to redefine torture so that they could say that we're not really torturing while we employed waterboarding explicitly. And in recent interviews, he's becoming more and more bold in his admissions about this. And you've got a story up on Think Progress today that details that, new interview with the Washington Times. And Faz, as I hear him make these comments and see these quotes surface, I hear the voice of a man who is very certain that there is a pardon in his future.
It may be that, or I think he probably understands a little bit about Obama's philosophy, quite honestly. I think often people talk about the fact that President-elect Obama is post-partisan, post-ideological, pragmatic. I think that those are all true. But he also, I think, has a streak of post-Bush to him. And they're anxious, I think, the administration is, new incoming administration is, to turn the page and to not continue to delve into things that occurred over the past 8 years.
And to just build on that metaphor, Faz, if you turn the page and there's blood on the page before, it's going to seep through to the next page.
Yeah, particularly if you don't learn the right lessons. Yeah, and I think that that's what's most important here is that, you know, you, I, and many others in the progressive world have been calling for accountability over instances when criminal conduct, in this case, and just otherwise bad behavior occurs. And if the lesson learned for future public employees is that you can violate the public trust, you can violate the laws, and to feel like you can walk out scot-free, then we haven't done our job.
Now, we're going to chew this over some more with some of our other guests today, but this is just too important to short shrift. Here's the quote from Cheney. In my mind, the foremost obligation we had from a moral or ethical standpoint was to the oath of office we took when we were sworn in 2001, to protect and defend against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and that's what we've done. Now, Faz, you're the lawyer here. That's not what the oath of office says. The oath of office is to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States against all foreign and domestic enemies.
Well, you know, if you aren't following the Constitution, it's convenient to just omit it from that statement. And certainly, that's the, at least we can give points to Dick Cheney for being accurate in his description because he hasn't followed the Constitution, so he's not claiming to have done it. And it's not only that. I mean, obviously, he didn't even believe that he was a part of the executive branch. So it came from top to bottom in the way that they conducted themselves. They put the Constitution aside and said, we'll just do whatever the hell we want to do. And they're going to continue to pursue it. I think that it serves as a model for certain people down the line if they feel like they want to grab power and use and abuse it. They're going to look to the Dick Cheney model, and that's why it's important for those of us pushing and pressuring the Obama administration to make sure that there's repercussions for those who might think about grasping at the Dick Cheney model in the future.
Now, if that wasn't astounding enough, he went on to say, I think it would have been unethical or immoral for us not to do everything we could in order to protect the nation against further attacks like what happened on 9/11. And, you know, absent torture and things that are clearly unethical or immoral, this is a man who's using situational ethics and a kind of bizarre rewriting of history to try to gild the lily here. And, you know, I guess he's hoping that it won't take 30 years for a rosy impression of Bush and Cheney to arise.
Yeah.
But, you know, this really offends me. And the silence from most Democrats is equally offensive. Now, Carl Levin, chair of the Armed Services Committee in the Senate, was on television last night, and I give him credit for the report that was issued about who authorized the torture. It parallels the book by Philippe Sands and the work by Jane Mayer and others that documents that it was top-down. It wasn't a grassroots effort with requests from Guantanamo. Pretty please, can we torture these guys? But it appears that this report has arrived at a time when a guy throwing shoes at the president dominated the news, and the Democrats are just going to leave that hot potato behind and hope it cools off.
Yeah, well, and Cheney is revising history, and it's really unfortunate. The only thing that they really hang their hat on is the fact that there hasn't been another attack since 9/11, which, by the way, of course, occurred on the Bush administration's watch, which you rarely hear, because the way they've reframed this is that, well, we came in and we protected the nation.
Right.
Never mind the fact that a major attack occurred on their watch. But, you know, that's the one thing they have hang their hat on, and so therefore all of the illegal and criminal behavior that they've conducted, they say, well, the only reason we were able to do that is because and the only way we were able to keep the nation safe was to do these criminal acts. And that kind of logic is what Dick Cheney is brazenly trying to promote. And so he's saying that it would have been immoral for him to act in any other way than to violate the law, because that's what's kept our nation safe. It's the most ridiculous line of logic, and you know, there's not much more you can say about this.
Yeah, I hear you. Taz Shakir is with us from the Center for American Progress on the Peter B. Collins Show. Now, let's just do something on a little lighter note. The current lead item at the Think Progress website is a list of adjectives that have been used to describe Bush, and you show the change over how prominent they were in 2004 and what they are here in 2008. And the winner, Faz, is, do you have that in front of you?
No, I'm sorry, I don't.
Okay, the winner is incompetent. And I just think they left out the word moron here. It doesn't appear anywhere.
Yeah, if I remember that correctly, there was idiot placed pretty highly.
Idiot's number two. I'll spare you here. The top five, incompetent, idiot, ignorant, honor or honorable, selfish, we'll keep going, stupid, ass, dedicated, okay. There was no change on okay, by the way. patriotic, sincere, arrogant actually declined over that four-year period from 25% to 23%. So it is interesting what words we use to describe the decider, the misunderestimator.
The one that I had been looking for was failure. You remember that Google had created this interesting thing where when you typed in failure, quote, the first a return would be George Bush's website, the White House.
Yeah.
And so I was wondering to what extent that seeped through, and I didn't see that on there. But yeah, that's actually often the word that comes to my mind, and hopefully history's mind too when we look back on the Bush administration.
More with Faz Shakir in just a moment. My toll-free number is 888-5 Peter B. If you have a comment, and as we continue, we'll talk about Obama's latest nominations, including Ken Salazar, senator from Colorado, to serve as Interior Secretary. This is the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540. Visit our website at KRXA540.com.
Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero and Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell. Putting the service back in service stations.
Go ahead, take a deep breath. Yep, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system. Your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hambley, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
I'm Glenn Sadowski from Optimal Health Acupuncture in Monterey. Did you know that over one-third of all Americans have tried alternative medicine for relief from chronic pain, depression, asthma, and many other disorders? That acupuncture is safe and effective and has been in use for thousands of years? Or that traditional Chinese medicine treats not only your symptoms but the actual root causes of disease? At Optimal Health, we offer acupuncture, lymphatic, deep tissue, and hot stone massage, have a full Chinese herbal pharmacy, and for acupuncture, we accept insurance. Reclaim yourself at Optimal Health at 655-3208, where clients take a proactive role in their well-being, make informed decisions, and create healthier lifestyles. Call Optimal Health Acupuncture today at 655-3208 or on the web at OptimalHealthMonterey.com. Optimal Health, where you'll receive good medicine with great results. Think for yourself at Optimal Health.
Sun Street Centers has an outpatient recovery program designed for men and women with alcohol or drug issues, referred by the court system, employer-referred, or self-referred. Sun Street also takes insurance. At Sun Street, you're provided with one-on-one and group sessions that focus on relapse prevention, parenting skills, anger management, and family issues, and introduces the 12-step program. You can choose either 2 or 3 days a week or evenings with sites in Salinas and Marina. Just go to sunstreetcenters.org to sign up. sunstreetcenters.org.
Hi, I'm Audrey Williams.
And I'm Melvin Williams.
Check out our new show, Holy Hip Hop on the Block, every Saturday from 10 to 12 noon, right here on KRXA 540 AM.
Check us out.
It's time for more on the Peter B. Show. I'll dedicate this one to the Colorado Brothers, the Salazars. Now, this may get a little confusing for you, but Ken Salazar is actually the baby brother. He's the senator who's been appointed Interior Secretary by Barack Obama. And his brother John, the elder, is rumored to be in contention to replace Ken in the United States Senate. We're talking with Faz Shakir from the Center for American Progress. And Faz, how do you size this up? Because environmental groups give Ken Salazar a mixed record. The resource extractors praise him as not an ideologue, and that makes me nervous.
I think there's merit to both arguments. I think that the issue that I try to grapple with is you take people like Vilsack and Salazar, and you recognize that when they served in office, they had certain political constituencies and had to balance that.
Mm-hmm.
We talked recently with Chet Edwards, who told us this. He's like, I wish I had the freedom that you guys do at this think tank, but I represent a conservative district. And so, but he very much was aligned on all the issues with us, but sometimes felt torn on some of the issues because of the makeup of his district.
Mm-hmm.
The same way, I think Ken Salazar, as a senator, cut both ways because of, the dividing dynamic and going on in Colorado, the switch from red to blue that's going on there, and same with Vilsack. And I hope that now taking them out of their political constituency constituencies and putting them into a position where you're saying, now you have to lead. You're unencumbered by the political perils that had faced you in the past. And you need to carry forth the president's agenda. He's laid that out clean. And I hope that that means that they're going to, in some cases, change their record or be a stronger advocate.
Well, I really appreciate that perspective there, Faz, because I tend to look at the voting record of Senator Salazar and hold my nose. He voted with the Republicans on a lot of critical issues and really disappointed me. But in a state that is, shall we say, in transition, the very fact that he got elected as a Democrat is something you have to point as a victory or a gain. And yet, at the same time, if his brother or somebody else replaces him and that seat continues to represent more conservative votes, then I don't know how much we've achieved. It's kind of like the record of Rahm Emanuel in recruiting members of Congress, because, yes, he succeeded in winning back the majority in the House in 2006, but fully half of those freshmen pledged Blue Dog Frat and voted against Pelosi, you know, almost every chance they got. And so you got power, and then you're empowering people who will block the use of that power.
Right. I'm reminded of the refrain that many progressive bloggers use when talking about this dynamic. They say, we don't want just Democrats. We want, quote, better Democrats. And so we're always constantly on the lookout for better Democrats. It's not simply to just have somebody in office with the D next to their name, as somebody who's promoting progressive ideals. I think on Salazar's record, he cuts both ways. There was really never a Bush nominee that he didn't like. I mean, he generally voted for all of them. He voted against oil shale, which was something that I was pleased about, because usually coal, oil, and mining interests tend to dominate, particularly out west. And he stood up to them a little bit there. But, you know, he cuts both ways even on that.
Faz, does he like to party? Because that's what Interior is really famous for.
Well, exactly. I mean, that's a very famous sex for oil scandal, not to mention the Jack Abramoff infestation that occurred in the Interior Department. I mean, they've been riddled with all kinds of corruption. I mean, Cheney had his fingers all over that. That Klamath River debacle that occurred. So there was so much nonsense that was going on. It really needs to be cleaned up. And even if you just bring in somebody who's a reformer and gets the bureaucrats working on the agenda that they had hoped to pursue when they worked in that office, that would be a good start.
And also, Interior is a haven for people from Colorado. We've had Gail Norton, James Watt, Ann Gorsuch, and now Ken Salazar.
Yeah, I think it's a continuing indication of the fact that the West is generally more progressive on environmental issues. I think it progressive in the way I use that word is more conscious of environmental issues. People out in the West, I tend to think about that more than I think people over here in the East do.
Yeah. Now, Faz, we were warned to expect another Republican or two in the cabinet, but Ray LaHood? Now, it's transportation. My pal Norm Mineta was the odd duck, the Democrat in the Bush administration. It's not a real serious issue to me, but I cringe when they describe Ray LaHood as a moderate Republican, because he supported every bit of the Bush agenda. I can't think of any place where he separated himself.
He was a thorn in our side on Iraq. I mean, every step of the way, he really fought us on. When we were trying to engage in the strategic redeployment, he was there fighting every step of the way and rallying his colleagues. And then, never mind the impeachment of Clinton, he was involved heavily in that as well. Mm-hmm. But at the end of his tenure, he seemed to have some regrets. I remember he said he blasted the GOP for not getting anything done. And then when Democrat leaders came in, he said they've accomplished a lot. They've done it in a bipartisan way, which is exactly what they promised to do. Mm-hmm. And so he started to change his tune when he announced that he was going to retire, and then he formed a bond with Barack Obama. I think I was talking to many people on the Hill who said Ray LaHood was the best Republican over the last 2 years of his tenure, from basically 2005, 2006.
I'm not persuaded. Faz, I want people to go to Think Progress and see the information that you posted there about Pastor Rick Warren from the Saddleback Church. You know, it's 3 minutes on Inauguration Day, not a big deal to me, but I was rooting for Reverend Jeremiah Wright. I wanted him to say, God damn, America, you elected an African-American.
God damn.
Faz, thank you very much, and Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. We'll talk to you next year.
Same to you. Thank you, Peter.
All right, that's Faz at the Center for American Progress. Coming up, we'll talk about restoring human rights.
to a rogue nation, the United States of America.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood Files, sponsored in part by Home Medics. Get the perfect holiday gift, affordable luxuries they'll enjoy all year round. Home Medics, heated shiatsu massagers starting at just $49.99 at retailers everywhere. I'm Charles Osgood. Bernard Madoff, who allegedly bilked investors of $50 billion, has been put under house arrest in his luxury apartment, must wear an ankle bracelet and surrender his passport. And he has signed over the apartment as well as homes in Palm Beach and the Hamptons to make his $10 million bond. What's amazing is that he did what he did under the noses of the Securities and Exchange Commission, says billionaire businessman T. Boone Pickens.
I think it's unbelievable. That's what I think. I cannot even imagine that that guy ran a scheme of that size and got away with it as long as he did.
More after this. Let me tell you about something new that I now have. The latest wonderful Home Medic Shiatsu massaging back cushion with heat. It's the Shiatsu 1. And it is great, let me tell you. It has both back and shoulder massages that feel like a professional masseur with four hands. No appointment needed, though, and no big pricey massaging chair either. You can use it with any chair in the house. I should look forward to using mine at the end of a stressful day. If there's any gift more perfect to get or give this season than the Shiatsu 1, I sure haven't seen it. The Home Medic Shiatsu massaging back cushion is truly state-of-the-art. In fact, it's earned the Good Housekeeping Seal. You deserve one, and so does somebody you care about. Get yours today. Home Medics, the leaders in massage innovation. Available at retailers everywhere or at homemedics.com. Christopher Cox, the head of the SEC, will be out in a month. President-elect Obama is naming Mary Shapiro to succeed him. What is Cox now saying about Bernard Madoff's alleged $50 billion swindle?
We say that a rising tide lifts all boats, that we have to recognize that when the economic tide goes out, that some of the skeletons that are washed up on the shore are Ponzi schemes such as this one.
Although maybe they should have known about it well before the tide went out.
Credible allegations about Mr. Madoff had been made over nearly a decade and yet never referred to the commission for action.
The SEC is investigating the relationship between a former SEC attorney, Eric Swanson, who once led a team looking into Madoff's business, and is now married to Madoff's niece. Cox insists.
We have thus far no evidence of any wrongdoing by any SEC personnel.
It is an outrageous failure.
Former SEC attorney Jacob Frankel.
When they did go in to the Madoff operation, and Bernie Madoff would say, look at this and look at this, and the SEC would say, thank you, and not pursue it.
The Osgood File. Transcripts, podcasts, and MP3s of these programs can be found at theosgoodfile.com. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares. Don't even
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
33 days remain for the Republican wrecking crew in Washington. Dick Cheney's becoming bolder and bolder about admitting his role in torture. What's it going to take to restore human rights as a basic tenet of American principle and policy? We've got a lot of work to do. We'll talk about it this half hour. But first, I want you to crank up this tune and listen to the lyrics. It's Michael Franti and Spearhead. It's called Yell Fire.
A revolution never comes with a warning. A revolution never sends you an omen. A revolution just arrived like the morning. Ring the alarm, we come to wake up the snoring. They're telling you to never worry about the future. They're telling you to never worry about the torture. They're telling you that you will never see the horror. Spend it all today and we will build it tomorrow. Free peace, and bank accounts in Bahamas. Wall Street crime will never send you to the slammer. Tell all the children in the arms of the mamas. The F-15 is a homicide bomber. TV commercial for a pop a pill culture. Drugs companies circling like a vulture. Amaraki babies with the G.I. Joe father. 10 years from now, is anybody gonna bother? Yeah, fire.
That's the musical equivalent of throwing a bunch of shoes. Michael Franti references torture, Wall Street criminals who get off scot-free, and many other abuses. Boy, we got a lot of work to do. Joining us this half hour is the Western Regional Director of Amnesty International, and her background includes serving as a law professor here in the Bay Area at the John F. Kennedy School of Law. She also attended the University of San Francisco, and her name is one that I'm going to try here, and she'll correct me if I don't get it right, Banafsha Akhlaqi. How's that?
That's not so bad. Banafsha Akhlaqi.
Banafsha. Okay.
That's right. Yes.
Banafsha, nice to meet you, and thank you for joining us today. You have a very impressive background. You taught constitutional law. You've advocated on behalf of the human rights of immigrants and others. And now you're working with Amnesty International. What drew you into this field?
Altogether, what drew me into this field is my background. I'm born in Iran, raised in the United States, and I'm one of those who came to the United States prior to the revolution. So I'm in Iran.
Mm-hmm.
So I witnessed, student activism, student movement, the Iranian students here in the United States at the time. And my parents and my family members were highly active. I mean, weekends were spent at the Los Angeles Federal Building demonstrating or watching family members and friends protesting nonviolently, of course, but protesting through hunger strikes and such. So the question of human rights and the protection of dignity were very much part of my framework growing up.
And with that history in mind, Banafsha, Jimmy Carter articulated human rights as a guiding principle in his foreign policy.
Yes.
And then he turned around and took in Marcos and the Shah.
Yeah.
Marcos from the Philippines, and of course Shah Reza Pahlavi of Iran, who was a brutal dictator, and Savak visited a lot of pain and suffering on his political opponents and maintained a level of order there that unraveled when he departed. How did you feel when Carter first fumbled a little bit? The Shah went to Panama, I think, for a while, and then we allowed him to come into the United States for medical treatment. How did you feel at that time? Because that was a gesture of human rights to a brutal dictator.
Well, I can say most Iranians at that time who had there's a large diaspora community, correct,
mm-hmm.
outside of the country and within the country. Were inflicted, impacted by the former Shah's regime. So yes, I mean there was obviously question as to the background and the commitment to human rights here in the United States and the hypocrisy that many Iranians were questioning at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And today, if we start to look at then the transition to the Islamic Republic of Iran, right? Today, there are atrocities that are so grand and so large that many Iranians are looking back at the time of the Shah and wonder which is more grave for the country and for the people of Iran. So it's to witness this transition historically, right, in one's lifetime. It's the brutality is ongoing. Now, you know, that then in the name of the monarchy, now in the name of God. Right?
Yeah. We're talking with Banafsha Akhlaqi. She's Western Regional Director for Amnesty International. And since you taught constitutional law, may I ask you just to listen to this quote? It's from the Washington Times, a recent interview with our current Vice President, Dick Cheney. And could you tell me what's missing from his quote? He said, "In my mind, the foremost obligation we had from a moral or an ethical standpoint was to the oath of office we took when we were sworn in January 20, 2001, to protect and defend against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And that's what we've done." What's wrong with that quote?
Well, there's a lot missing.
Well, for one, the oath that they take is to protect and defend the Constitution.
That's correct.
Not the nation.
That's correct.
And he has failed miserably and seems blissfully ignorant or just in deep denial.
You know, and that's the call. That's the call currently by Amnesty International and various other human rights organizations. That's the call for the new administration. You know, today also Secretary Gates started to have a conversation about the planning of the closure of Guantanamo, right? Mm-hmm. There's a U.S. Senate allegation that have come out regarding our responsibilities of torture and abuses in the name of what Cheney and others have been trying to protect us through those mechanisms.
And just a friendly amendment, the Senate Armed Services report specifically says that top leaders, including Donald Rumsfeld, the Secretary of Defense, and others at the White House, were directly responsible for the torture policy, that it was not a bottom-up approach.
That's correct.
Yes.
That's correct.
So please continue. I'm sorry.
And that's really where I think we as a movement, and when I say we as a movement, I mean we as a human rights movement, those of us who are working diligently or committed to the protection and dignity of all, we're calling for the new administration to do particular acts within the first 100 days and the first 18 months in office, and one of which is, you know, to issue an executive order on the renouncing torture and the acts that we've committed, and to take a further step. And here is the place where I think we all need to look to combine our efforts on, and that's to issue a commission, to establish an independent commission to examine all these U.S. abuses in this so-called war on terror, and assemble a government, a civil society representative, an independent commission, however you want to frame it, but framing it in a way that we would begin to inquire into what happened in these last 7 years,
well,
8 years.
Banafsha, I don't really disagree with you, but honestly, I'm commissioned out. I think that these commissions that we have are distractions, they're dilatory, and they really do not get to the bottom of issues, nor do they hold anyone accountable.
Mm.
And the celebrated 9/11 commission, with a best-selling book later repudiated by its authors in many respects, was a sham. And if Lee Hamilton gets appointed to another commission, I'm going to puke. But I just have to say honestly that I would like our criminal justice system to address these issues. These are not minor policy differences or, prevarications from a political or policy norm. These were intentional violations of our constitutional rights, our Constitution itself, and many American statutes, not to mention the conventions that we are bound to, the international conventions for human rights and Geneva on military issues, that have just been completely ignored, if not treated with great contempt by this administration. And so, to me, a commission would be a step. I wouldn't oppose it. But what I really want to see is full investigations and full accountability for lawbreaking.
And we don't disagree. That's precisely the manner in which to capture all that evidence, right? It's to look to see exactly, you know, what are the documents? What has happened? Where do we need to reassert the rule of law? Where do we need to hold individuals responsible, strictly enforcing that responsibility, whether they physically engage through their actions or they engage through their silence? But yes, the commission isn't to just have another round table, but it's to actually hold individuals accountable, and we must. And the world is looking to the United States. It's looking to human rights organizations like Amnesty at this time. You know, we have our activist brothers and sisters in other countries who are saying to us straight, candidly, that you must hold the U.S. accountable. Mm-hmm. If you don't start to look at changing U.S. policy towards torture, what possibility are we going to have in our home countries, i.e. Iran, Congo, right, mm-hmm. Zimbabwe, other locations? We must start to hold each and every actor, and again, I want to preface this, it's either through action or through silence, and start to do so in a, absolutely, if the roads lead to a criminal investigation and then therefore criminal holding because of the international treaties and other enforcement mechanisms that we have, then so be it. And
wouldn't it work better a little the other way around, that if we launched criminal investigations and let them go where they lead and have trials and deal with those who are accused, and after those processes, then we could take a look at fixing things and repairing the damage and trying to put policies in place to prevent it from happening in the future. My concern is if we do a commission round first, that it would taint any further legal proceedings down the road because of the way testimony is delivered and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I think the major question for us is to reorient ourselves to the rule of law, right? We definitely want to make sure that there aren't going to be institutional loopholes. I think that's what you're speaking to, that would permit criminal behavior from being punished, right?
Yeah, well, my concern is that if the fact finding is done by a commission, that some of the evidence and testimony would be either, unfresh or could be controverted when it's presented in a trial later on. So I would prefer for a trial to take first, and that would be the discovery phase that then could lead to a commission or a congressional committee or however it's done that would address the underlying policy issues. But we've never had a commission that really dealt with the full range, including holding people accountable for criminal violations.
The first step, ideally, is to establish even the conversation, right? I mean, I don't disagree with you, and I don't believe that Amnesty would disagree with you.
Mm-hmm.
But the first notion, right? Even a conversation on holding individuals accountable is the first ask that we're asking the mm-hmm. new administration. And we also should take another look at this, right? Would we be able to? How far would we be able to go? One of the battles that we're looking at from a policy perspective is, these roads would lead back to perhaps the Democratic Party.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. When you talk about silence and complicity, yes,
that's right. And so that's really where the rub is, and that's mm-hmm. where the balance is.
Mm-hmm.
How do we hold each and every accountable?
Right.
Yeah.
And I do agree with your first priority, which is to restore constitutional government and adherence to constitutional values in the incoming administration. That's where we have to start. But when we look retrospectively, I believe that because Pelosi blocked impeachment efforts, and I think that was a huge misjudgment on her part, we're left with Senator Levin saying, well, we produced this report, and I hope
that the Justice Department under Senator Obama, President Obama, will pursue these issues. But we have no clear path to that, and there are many of us concerned that the administration wants to move on and not, in its view, get dragged down or bogged down in the past. But I don't believe we can have a clear future unless we deal with the problems and the clear mistakes, intentional mistakes of the past. Let's take a break and we'll return. Our guest from Amnesty International, she's Western Regional Director, Banafsha Aklagi. And if you have a question or comment, if you agree or disagree, we welcome your participation. Call me now toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. It's 888-573-8372. Thanks for listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
We at KRXA 540 would like to take this opportunity to wish you and your loved ones the very best during this holiday season. From all of us to all of you, happy holidays.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way and the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
Just because gas prices are low doesn't mean our troubles are over. Mother Nature's getting hot under the collar, our economy is in the toilet, and we're spending billions overseas to fill our tanks. Both kinds. Did you know local people have sold locally made fuel on the Central Coast since 2002? At the Green Station, our biodiesel is ASTM approved and is made from restaurant fryer oil collected right here. Did you know that electric cars were first built in the 1830s? Almost 200 years later, and our government still has plenty of money for oil wars, but not enough to jumpstart our renewable energy economy. 70% of all car trips in America can be done in a neighborhood electric vehicle. This will help save our planet and save you money. Zen neighborhood electric cars are at the Green Station now, and they can be charged by the sun. From local biodiesel to electric cars, bikes, and scooters, renewable transportation and a more peaceful world are just a call away. Call the Green Station today in Santa Cruz at 831-425-9100. Major credit cards are now accepted. That's 831-425-9100. Again, that's 831-425-9100.
Come here, Max. What's wrong? What? Oh, I get it. A rough day?
Hi, I'm Dr. Annetta Richmond inviting you to Natural Veterinary Therapy in Pacific Grove, the peninsula's new holistic veterinary medicine clinic featuring a wide variety of natural treatments and remedies for common ailments. We also specialize in acupuncture, chiropractic, and physical rehabilitation using an underwater treadmill. Natural Veterinary Therapy, Lighthouse Avenue between 14th and 15th in Pacific Grove. Our environment is unique. Clients comment on how calm and caring it is for their pets and themselves. At Natural Veterinary Therapy, our goal is to help your pet heal from within. So think for yourself and think for your pets. Visit our website at naturalveterinarytherapy.com or call 655-0501. That's 655-0501.
Meow. Whiskers, I'd better call Dr. Richmond for you, too.
Meow, meow.
My homepage at peterbcollins.com. Share it with a friend. A shout out to our new listeners on AM 1510 in Boston. Good to have you with us, New England. We're talking with Banafsha Aklagi, the Western Regional Director for Amnesty International. Their website, simpleamnesty.org. That's amnesty.org. And Banafsha, this is a complicated process of repairing the damage to our Constitution that's been done intentionally by this administration and with complicity of many Democrats. It pains me that our senior senator from California, Dianne Feinstein, will take over the chair of the Senate Intelligence Committee because she's been willing to give away our Fourth Amendment rights and to condone many of the misdeeds of the Bush administration in the name of national security. So how do we deal with this? Because many of the people who had some role, one way or another, active or passive, in the bad policies of the Bush administration will still be players in the Obama years. How do we as citizens demand that we get our Fourth Amendment rights back, that they stop spying on American citizens without a court order? And how do we make sure that Guantanamo is closed and we don't create a worse gulag or a similar gulag somewhere else?
Well, you know, I think the biggest lesson from this last campaign was that when we together combined as an effort, right, a collective effort, are active, we can see change occur. And that's really what our movement is at Amnesty. It's a movement of people. We're 2.2 million strong at this point, and it requires that level of coming together. It requires activism. It requires mobilizing ourselves towards a common purpose. And it requires clear objectives. I think that's the lesson learned, I would say, in bringing us together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the closure of Guantanamo, you know, the point that you just made, you know, it's so important to underscore this for the listeners and for those involved in this conversation. You know, it's not just the closure of Guantanamo, right? I mean, it is the dismantling of the military commission regime that we've instituted.
Well, and the whole idea that you can hold somebody indefinitely without charge and somehow that's legal?
You know, and the fact that we're really not having the conversations of how are we going to pursue this plan, right? You know, are we going to pursue this plan by moving these individuals to other illegal, unjust imprisoned facilities and detention
mm-hmm.
facilities?
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to adhere to domestic and international human rights standards, as you're speaking to? You know, are we going to have trials that we'll actually have that will be tried in a fair, impartial tribunal?
Will we repudiate what they call rendition, extraordinary rendition? It's kidnapping by private jet.
Or, you know, on that same question, will we ever know what happened to the some 39 people that we at least
right.
know of that have been disappeared after U.S. agents had interacted with them? So,
mm-hmm.
you know, what are we looking to? And so it's beyond just the structure of the closure of Guantanamo. I mean, that's a commitment that the president-elect has made, and that's you know, obviously the announcement that was made today
and
by Secretary Gates. But there really is a full framework that we're looking at, you know,
mm-hmm.
so that we can really start to support. Because you see, we believe, you know, as we start looking at what actually happened in these cases, we will begin to do much more of that fact finding through these cases. Right. So then going back to the question of whether it will be a commission or it will be a straight criminal tribunal, this evidence, the what happened during these last several years is the important, you know, the fact that we just don't know so much, right? Because it was
mm-hmm.
it was cloaked into this war on terror.
Well, in Benasha, we have so much work to do. The ACLU compiled an agenda to restore constitutional rule to this country, and it runs 84 pages.
Right.
We've got the Patriot Act. We've got the Homegrown Terrorism
right.
Act. We have so many bad pieces of legislation that have been passed, and I have to underscore, unfortunately, with the strong support from many Democrats.
Yeah.
And this will not be easy to unring these many, many bells, but we must work on it. We must do everything we can to try to restore the level of freedom, the level of privacy and civil liberties that we enjoyed and that others enjoyed, even non-citizens, expected and received before Bush took office.
And to go one step further, you know, we have an international responsibility as well.
Yeah.
Right. We have there are so many in various countries around the world who are looking to us because, you know, many of heads of states in other countries have adopted our version of the Patriot Act, or they've adopted, you know, fully what we were attempting to pass here, but we passed in parts, you know, Patriot Act 2.
Well, and it appears that they tortured the shoe thrower, Al-Zaida, in Iraq because they expected that's what Bush wanted.
That's right.
I mean, they broke his hand. They made him scream. We don't know the details of exactly what has occurred to him, but we know that he wasn't just, you know, sent to a nice minimum security facility. Well, I'm out of time here, Banafsha, but it's been a pleasure talking with you.
Thank you very much.
And I really appreciate the work you're doing.
Thank you.
Stay in touch and let us know how we can assist you.
Certainly. Thank you for the opportunity.
You bet. Banafsha Aklagi, she is the Western Regional Director for Amnesty International.
Bonjour, this is Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. I've created a special offer for you to try my French wines made from organically grown grapes. For a limited time, when you buy two bottles, you get one bottle free, and I'll even pay for the shipping. I know you love the taste of these handcrafted wines from my ancestors' lands, especially if you care about our planet and your health. Imagine, you can have organic French wine delivered to your door for less than $12 a bottle. I've made this free wine and free shipping offer available to you because I believe you'll become a lifelong customer once you've tasted our wines. The French Bouquet Collection at ecowine.com includes my red Chateau Véronique from Languedoc, my white Viognier, and my Blanquette de Limoux sparkling wine. All French, organically grown, and affordable.
For free delivery, click on ecowine.com/PeterB. That's ecowine.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
I am worried about a disorderly bankruptcy and what it would do to the psychology and the markets.
But an orderly bankruptcy might be an option.
The federal regulators are finally saying that things have gone too far in credit cards and that something has to change.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. It might just be a way to wring more concessions from the auto companies and the union, but the Bush administration is floating the idea of a soft landing through bankruptcy. CBS News correspondent Mark Nolder reports.
What President Bush wants the car companies to avoid is what he calls a disorderly bankruptcy.
If a major institution were to fail, there is great likelihood that there'd be a ripple effect throughout the world and the average person would be really hurt.
He says he hasn't made up his mind about a government bailout, but one option is an orderly bankruptcy, which would give the car companies a chance to reorganize and emerge with long-term viability. Mark Noller, CBS News, the White House.
New market research supports the industry's view that bankruptcy would be fatal. 40% of those surveyed said they wouldn't buy a car from a bankrupt company because it would be worth less at trade-in time. Now this.
Individual results may vary. Program not available in all states.
Tired of credit card debt with high rates and high monthly payments? There's powerful free information credit card companies don't want you to know. If you have more than $10,000 in credit card debt, you have the power to settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. We're Credit Answers, and we'd like to show you how to settle your credit card debt with low monthly payments you can afford. Call 1-800-400-6823. That's 1-800-400-6823. 1-800-400-6823.
And now, another reason to switch to GEICO.
Instead of paying more for car insurance, you'd rather pay less. Call you crazy, but for some strange reason, you like saving money. And guess what? With things like money-saving rates, multi-car discounts, and good driver discounts, GEICO's always looking for ways to lower what you pay for great car insurance. Huh. Guess you can call us crazy, too.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
For all those who say something should be done about credit card interest rates, something is. CBS News correspondent Randall Pinkston reports.
On the eve of the biggest shopping weekend of the year, bank regulators gave consumers a present. Future rules to fine-tune the fine print for your credit card.
This is probably the biggest thing since the introduction of credit cards.
The biggest change, a new ban on raising interest rates unless a payment is 30 days late, or the card has a variable interest rate, or a promotional rate expires. Rates can also be raised on cards at least a year old if the consumer gets 45 days notice.
The banking industry warns these rules, which take effect in mid-2010, will mean higher rates on new accounts and will make it harder for people to get credit cards. The Fed has promised to pump money into the mortgage market, and CBS News correspondent Steve Kathan reports the effort seems to be working.
Mortgage rates are plunging. The national average for a 30-year fixed is now around 5%, lowest since the 1960s.
If you're interested in the purchase or refinance of a first mortgage, press 3.
Mortgage companies have been flooded with calls. It's time to buy for Dan Shepard in Maryland after a year and a half of waiting.
Rates were, mid-sixes, and that's kind of why I held off.
But analysts say buying and refinancing long-term will depend on credit and the jobs picture. Steve Kathan, CBS News.
The price of crude oil continued its free fall today, dropping nearly $4 to $36.56 a barrel, coming from $147 in July. Analyst John Kilduff says this collapse is unprecedented.
It speaks to the dim economic prospects that continue to hit us on a daily basis. Whether it's more bad news out of the auto industry or moves by countries like even China to try to prop up their faltering economy.
Fulfilling a requirement laid down by President-elect Obama, former President Bill Clinton has disclosed donors to his foundation. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato takes a look.
Two nations in particular stand out on the donor list. Saudi Arabia has contributed up to $25 million, and Saudi supporters and businessmen have kicked in several million more. Contributions from individuals and groups from India also are extensive. Both countries, of course, are in hotspot regions. Would the foundation's ties with India, for instance, compromise Hillary Clinton's ability to deal with Pakistan as Secretary of State? She's sure to be asked that at her confirmation hearings.
Mr. Obama, introducing Mary Shapiro as his choice to chair the Securities and Exchange Commission today, said there hasn't been a lot of adult supervision in the financial markets. Today on Wall Street, the Dow lost 219 points, closing at 8604, the Nasdaq down 26. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Honey, come on, we've got last-minute shopping to do.
Let's go to
Lowe's Last-Minute Extravaganza!
A bullhorn?
Sorry, but this Thursday through Christmas Eve, we'll get 10% off major appliances, $397 or more.
Oh.
Plus, we can register for a free $10 online certificate with purchase of $100 in Lowe's gift cards and get 10% off all wet dry vacs and Cobalt tool storage chests.
Let's go to Lowe's.
I'll start the car!
Do your last-minute shopping at Lowe's this weekend to get 50% off holiday decorations. Lowe's, let's build something together. While supplies last, some restrictions apply. See store for details.
This isn't a political message. It's not a pitch from a pitch man, not brought to you by anything or anyone in particular. It's not a plea, it's not commentary. No, it's merely an idea for you to do with what you will. Let's redefine Christmas. Let's rethink how we give by replacing gifts that seem frivolous with gifts that are charitable and do more good. More on this idea at redefinechristmas.org. It's merely a website with an idea.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show, devoted to military and veterans issues, featuring our special contributor, Scott Dick. Scott served in the U.S. Marine Corps, then jumped over to the Army, retired there at the rank of major, and he joins me every week about this time. And you're welcome to join us in the conversation this hour. Our toll-free number is always available to you, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 3-8s followed by 573-8372. You can take it either way, the numerical 888-573-8372 or 888-5-PETER-B. Program it into your phone, and then you can forget it. Scott, welcome to our show today.
Hey, thanks, Peter, for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, it's always good to talk with you, and you help me understand things that often just befuddle me. I want to start with our criminal vice president, who has now, in the course of three or four interviews over the past week, more and more brazenly admitted his role, his direct role, in the torture policies, the redefinition of torture. He supports waterboarding, doesn't think it's torture, but the world has for centuries. And as I mentioned last hour to Faz Shakir, he speaks with the confidence of a man who knows that there will be a pardon issued before any criminal prosecutor could get a hold of him.
Well, I find it especially egregious because he was his lawyer, David Addington, and he were instrumental in the in all of the policies that were implemented in order to have the abuses at Abu Ghraib and Gitmo, mm-hmm. Guantanamo Bay, and that they pushed for these harsh interrogation techniques, which aren't really harsh interrogation techniques, they're torture.
Yeah.
And so to hide behind this redefinition of torture and waterboarding is not torture, and he said that these harsh interrogation techniques just had to be used, and he said, half of what we know about Al-Qaeda, we got using these techniques.
Huh.
So.
And that's one of those unprovable claims.
Of course. I mean, that, what I was going to say, Peter, was that, I was just having a little pause there, is that how does he know what he knows is true?
Yeah.
I mean, you could tell him anything.
Khalid Sheikh Mohammed has confessed to things that he could not possibly have been responsible for.
Of course. And so the idea that somehow, and you know, and he's backed up by the likes of Sean Hannity and Bill O'Reilly on the Fox network, and the Fox, the right-wing commentators are all for torturing people. But wait until a country, let's just say, for an example, Iran, captures one of our pilots and waterboards to find out when the next flight, incoming flight of aircraft are coming in, then it'll be torture all over again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if it happens to us, certainly. It's barbaric, it's torture, it's illegal, and we have the right to nuke them.
And I saw Bill O'Reilly go crazy on an American representative, a member of Congress, because he says the field manual on interrogation techniques by the Army says that no prisoner will be put in an uncomfortable position. And that's right out of the Geneva Convention. If a prisoner doesn't want to talk, he has the right to climb up, and you don't have a right to torture him.
Mm-hmm.
And Bill O'Reilly couldn't get over that. And so what goes around comes around. And I just want to remind you, Peter, that you probably already know this, but let me remind you that our pilots were tortured in Vietnam because Ho Chi Minh said that they were war criminals. And they had other prisoners that were never touched by the Vietnamese that way. They held a ton of prisoners captured on the ground, captured in helicopter crashes. They did not torture them. They reserved that for these pilots who Ho Chi Minh said were war criminals, and when he died, their war criminal status changed, and they stopped torturing them.
Right.
So anybody, any little petty dictator like George W. Bush can declare, okay, it's okay to torture now because we need this information.
Well, and the other thing is that they're pandering to the people who think that 24 is not fiction. Because they want us to believe that a ticking time bomb scenario has occurred and they've been able to beat the hell out of somebody and get them to cough up the information and then turn around and prevent that incident from occurring. There's no evidence that that has ever happened. At least if it had, you'd think they would crow about it and that Bill O'Reilly would be bragging about it. But we don't have evidence of that.
No.
And we know flatly from CIA officers who have tried to employ torture. And we know from people like Phil Butler, who lives in Monterey near you, and who spent more time at the Hanoi Hilton than John McCain did. And he will tell you that, sure, we gave him a lot of stuff, but none of it was usable, none of it was true.
None of that, Peter. It's you listen to guys like Bill O'Reilly and these other right-wing commentators talk about how the effectiveness of torture and how only the worst of the worst are tortured to get information out of them, and that there's no other way to do it. And yet the FBI will tell you, wait, we've been dealing with murderers and rapists and for getting information out of them for decades,
mm-hmm.
without torturing them. And so we've dealt with some pretty skanky characters ourselves. This is a quote, not a quote, but I'm paraphrasing now. And been able to deal with that and get intelligence and get information from them. And so the whole idea is that only the CIA has the wherewithal to get real information from these real terrorists. And, Peter, the thing is, when do you declare a guy a terrorist? From the moment of capture, and then you torture him, and you find out, oop, he's not a terrorist. And the other part of this that guys like Five Deferment Cheney don't really get is that according to some surveys done, I think by Al Jazeera, maybe some other survey groups, Abu Ghraib and Guantanamo Bay are the two biggest, most effective recruiting tools for al-Qaeda that there is.
Right. Yep, exactly. That is, and this is where you and I have talked about this before, but I think that Bush and Cheney, and Bush admitted it shortly after 9/11 with his comment about going to the dark side, they believe that the only way to scare people, to intimidate them into not attacking the United States, was to show how barbaric we could be. And that's why they devised this system where they deny that torture exists at the very time that clear evidence surfaces that we do torture people. And there are victims, there are witnesses, there are FBI agents who have filed reports about improper use of torture at Guantanamo Bay.
Military and, prosecutors who have resigned in protest, who are prosecutors, not defense attorneys.
Yeah, one okay. after another.
Yep.
And so there is a whole body of evidence, and the world knows that the U.S. tortures, and Abu Ghraib and Guantanamo Bay are the icons of that policy. And I think that they seem to believe that this is what, quote-unquote, is keeping us safe. Here's the quote that Cheney gave the Mooney paper, the Washington Times. I feel very good about what we did. I think it was the right thing to do. He went on to say, I think it would have been unethical or immoral for us not to do everything we could in order to protect the nation against further attacks like what happened on 9/11. Now, this is just so irrational that it deserves to be fully challenged. And yet I've only heard criticism of Cheney on, you know, the predicted outlets like Rachel Maddow and Keith Olbermann on MSNBC.
It's pretty interesting, Peter, that he can make that leap, that cosmic leap from one side of the Grand Canyon to the other. Because if it was so effective and it was so righteous, why did they stop the worst of the mistreatment and the abuse after a year?
Well, because weak-kneed liberals complained. They whined. And they demanded that Constitution thing.
Yeah, see, no, that's what they like to feed the common wisdom. Well, and it was a fact, it was an uprising by the Naval Investigative Service, the FBI, and other people who said, this does not work. This is stupid. And it's creating more problems than it's the information that is creating more harm than it is good. Mm-hmm. You need to stop it. Not only that, but these are felonies and in violation of the Geneva Convention. There's a whole body of reasons why you need to stop it. And so they did. But for the first year, before it went unchallenged, before people actually said, wait, look, what are you talking about? This does not work. And it was interesting that in that chain of emails back and forth between Abu Ghraib and the U.S., there was a lieutenant colonel who was lobbying the U.S. CIA and the DOD to continue this, and he was saying that the information, he presented all this information that they had gotten from these harsh interrogation techniques as coming from harsh interrogation techniques, and in fact, it was the information that had come from the FBI using their kind of techniques.
Hmm.
And so when they found out that he was presenting that as coming from harsh, they put the kibosh on that. And ended that whole line of, well, look at all this information. Well, it's not coming from your end of the building, moron. So after a year, they stopped it.
So, Scott, the other thing that I find intriguing is that everybody knows that Bush snuck off to Baghdad, and a journalist named, I got his name here, Zaida, threw his shoes at him. And that will be an image that lasts for a long, long time, particularly in this part of the world. Not necessarily as grisly as Abu Ghraib, but probably as indelible. But I think that the media and the public have missed two critical points here. One is that Bush returned to the scene of his crime, pathologically. And number two, that he went there to sign the SOFA agreement that more or less ties the United States to the timeline that he always resisted for bringing our troops out of Iraq.
Yeah, on the irony scale that just blows the top off of mine, you know, I have that big United Way, but it's not a United Way thermometer, it's the irony scale.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, whenever we're talking about George Bush or Dick Cheney or something with the Republicans or right-wing nuts, that thing gets blown, the top of that thing gets blown out. It's been repaired so many times. And this is one of those, well, remember those artificial surrender timelines this one?
You mean the cut and run?
Yeah, the cut and run, the aspirational horizon.
Right.
And yet he goes over there and signs it, and then Dana Perino yesterday said, when Helen Thomas asked her a question about the shoe-throwing incident and the fact that he was complaining about occupiers, Dana Perez said, "We're not occupiers. We're guests."
Oh, my.
And I said, "Where does this information come out?" I said this on my show. "Where does this information come out? Does it come out from some liberal nut, right-wing nut?" No, it comes out of the highest levels of the government.
We'll take a break and return with Scott Dick. You got a comment? We want to hear it. Call me toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You've got the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540. Progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Slow down. You move too fast. You got to make the morning last.
Hello, I'm Barbara Mossberg. You know you move too fast. And I'm inviting you to join me Sundays to slow down for our poetry hour. Here's the lowdown on our poetry hoedown. Meet me at high noon, and we'll make the morning last right here on KRXA 540. What you know
I've come to Hi, this is Sheila Gale with The Sheila Show, Saturdays from 3 to 5. For the next few weeks, college basketball will be airing during my show. So please, if you tune in on Saturdays and hear basketball, you can hear me on Sundays from 3 to 5. The Sheila Show, where we talk about everything and help you get through life's toughest challenges. The Sheila Show, brought to you by Cornerstone Wellness Center on Cass Street in Monterey. Remember, if you tune in and hear basketball from 3 to 5 on Saturday, I'll be on Sunday, 3 to 5. The Sheila Show.
Cornucopia Landscaping in Santa Cruz is a complete design, installation, and maintenance company. Cornucopia Landscaping specializes in water-saving gardens which retain a lush appearance. You can have fruit trees, grapevines, fresh vegetables, and many beautiful ornamental plants while using very little water. In fact, an entire Cornucopia Landscaping garden sips only as much water in a season as a lawn of equal size gulps down in 1 week. Drip irrigation is the key to a water-saving garden. Are you looking for a beautiful flagstone pathway? Cornucopia Landscaping builds decks, patios, arbors, fences, retaining walls, planter boxes, and many other custom-built wooden structures. Serving Santa Cruz County since 1996. For more information or consultation, call Davis at 831-335-1209. That's 335-1209. That number again is 335-1209.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. Right now on Highway 68, just east of San Venancio Road, there is a pedestrian in the roadway. Right now in Santa Cruz, we've got several incidents happening. On the southbound one at Park Avenue, there is a moving roadway hazard. Also on the northbound one, just north of Soquel Drive, we have a traffic hazard. A horse trailer is blown out a tire in lane number 2. And on Lakeview Road at Lakeview Drive, a vehicle has hit a light pole. The pole may fall, so use caution there. We've got a pedestrian in the road at southbound Highway 17, just south of Mount Hermon Road, and CHP is on the way. That's your traffic on AM 540. Have a safe commute and a great afternoon, and stay with the Peter B. Collins Show.
23 minutes into the hour. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. And a shout-out to our weekend listeners in Portland and Missoula. We're talking military and veterans issues with Scott Dick. Our lines are open if you want to join us. 888-5-PETER-B. Now, Scott, there's been a lot of discussion lately about pulling troops out of Iraq. Some might go directly to Afghanistan. And, of course, a lot of us are holding on to the commitments made by the candidate Obama that he would pull, about two brigades a month out of Iraq starting in February of the coming year, of 2009.
Right.
But we now hear this is an Army Times story that people can read at armytimes.com, actually originated with the Associated Press, but that Ray Odierno, who is now the top general in Iraq, has an outline for plans that goes a lot slower than the program outlined by the candidate Obama. Do you think this is something that can be tweaked after Obama takes office when he says, well, that's a nice start, but remember what I said? Or do you think that this is a setup so that Obama can say, well, we're hewing to the spirit of my commitment, but I always said that I would listen to the advice of the generals?
That's a good one. You're asking me to do a couple things. Get into the minds of Odierno and the new president. Elect.
Yeah, and you're good.
So, thanks. I would say that looking at 150,000 troops, the first to go are going to be the Marines, apparently, 20,000. That puts us at 130,000. If we could get a brigade out a month, I mean, it's easy to do the math. That's 12 brigades. That's, that's 50,000.
Mm-hmm.
That's 70,000. That's still not 100,000. That leaves us about 2 years to get them out. And in order to withdraw orderly, it really takes a lot of time. I mean, just because you want to move two brigades doesn't mean that you have the transport to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, with international commitments, and it takes strategic aircraft and strategic lift, they call it, to move units out of theater. And it's not just a matter of everybody driving to Kuwait and creating this giant, nuclear target for somebody. It's a matter of getting them out orderly, going through deprocessing. They're going to have a lot of personnel processing as well, Peter, and and we're talking about TBI screening and mm-hmm. blood tests and those kind of things. They can't wait till they finally redeploy at their home stations for that kind of info. They have to do this in theater. So leaving a theater of operations is a huge deal. And so Odierno may be putting the finishing touches on a plan that the transition team has said, okay, give it to us and give it to us straight. What can you get out of there and how long it's going to take? And then let him float that and then see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that Barack Obama, I mean, he's giving me no indication right now that he's going to say, oh, we're going to leave troops in there because, well, so inexpensive to have them there.
Yeah, but he's never talked about pulling out all troops. He's focused on combat troops. His language has been consistent and very carefully chosen. He's never talked about withdrawing the military contractors we have there. And so there's a lot of wiggle room that Obama has when you compare his commitments to what he might do.
Yeah, but a lion's share of those contractors are there to service the troops, if you excuse that expression, as long as you don't hold on to any metal pipes when you're taking a shower or drink the water they provide.
Yeah.
So that, when a brigade leaves, they're going to lose a brigade's worth of contractor slots because there's nobody there for them to take care of.
Well, but I'm also thinking of Blackwater, these are security contractors. And by the way, we're going to talk about this issue with Mark Fainaru tomorrow on the program in our first hour. He's been to Iraq twice, and the second time he wrote this book about the contractors.
They may lose their contract with the State Department. There's some grumblings right now, and especially
right.
If the new administration has anything to say about it, they may have to find other good digs to exploit.
Well, but Fainaru in his book states that there are as many as 177 different armed contractors serving in Iraq right now, 177 different companies. We don't even know most of the names.
Yeah,
we've heard of Triple Canopy and Dyncor and Blackwater, but there are many others.
Well, it's an international effort to profiteer off of war, Peter.
Yep.
And so as that brigade, let's look at the brigade and its giant logistics tail with all the contractors that you need, for example, to service the trucks that bring the stuff into Iraq, or at least bring it in over ground, or bring it in from the airports, or bring it in from wherever it's coming in through. Those contractors ride shotgun on those convoys driven by the trucks. The trucks are driven by contractors.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you take that brigade out, you lose that logistics tail. You don't have the cooks, the KBR cooks. You don't have the KBR mechanics. You don't have them servicing the generators anymore. Mm-hmm. They're gone. They're not bringing in fuel. They're not bringing in food.
Those so then you think most gone. Of the contractors would just come out on the natural with the troops?
Yeah.
All right, I got to stop you there. Oh. We'll continue with Scott Dick on the Peter B. Collins Show. Stay tuned.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Is this a big joke? This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. It must be. The Wall Street guy who just lost $50 billion in that hedge fund. His name is actually Bernie Madoff, and his hedge fund is called Ascot Partners. He got his ascot, all right, about 3 years too late, unfortunately. Then there's the Federal Reserve, loaning money for 0% interest. The joke there is that it's a, quote, loan. Think about it. When the loan comes due, you just borrow it again at 0% interest. Oh, and the story that Chrysler has closed itself down for a month. The joke there is the for-a-month part. I believe that is going to be the longest month since the moon first rose. But the biggest joke of all is the one about the greedy auto workers who've become the latest middle-class scapegoats because it is their greed that has brought the auto industry to its knees. The joke there is that we are now defining greed as $65,000 a year take-home pay. That's about what they get. And even funnier is that many of the people who've convinced themselves that $65,000 is greedy are non-union workers who ride union wages the way the red-billed African oxpecker rides the elephant. And the funniest thing of all is how commentators who want to kick out foreign workers but subsidize foreign auto companies are able to cry greed with a straight face, even though to them $65,000 is a speaker's fee. Just remember, when you tell a joke, always double-check to make sure which side of the joke you're actually on. Now this.
Hey, Skip, what's up?
I just got out of a meeting with Jim.
Yeah, what's up with him lately?
I don't know. He's acting weird.
Yeah, the pointy hat, the striped socks.
Ever since he went to Office Max.
I think he's been elfing himself.
Jim? No way.
Hey, fellas, there you are. Hey, how about we do lunch, huh? What do you say? Come on, just the three of us.
Told you.
Office Max is your headquarters for the holidays. And, of course, don't forget to elf yourself at elfyourself.com. This week only, save $150 on Acer Notebooks and get Microsoft Home and Student for only an additional $79.99. See store for details while supplies last.
This is Dave Ross, on the web at DaveRoss.com.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
This is the Media Matters Minute. I'm Ben Fischel. Our top item today on Fox News is Hannity and Combs. Sean Hannity suggested that President-elect Barack Obama, the first African-American elected president, was named Time Magazine's Person of the Year because of a quid pro quo deal in which Vice President-elect Joe Biden chose Time Magazine's Jay Carney to be his communications director.
Shocker. The president-elect is crowned Time Magazine's Person of the Year. This after Time Magazine's D.C. bureau chief accepts a job in the Obama White House. I'm sure it's a coincidence.
But if that wasn't bad enough, the most ridiculous comment of the day goes to radio host Brian Sussman.
Show me one liberal female politician who is a babe.
I can't do it. I mean, all I think of is a frowning, annoyed
Barbara Boxer. I mean, I'm thinking of another queen, Barney Frank.
Oh, God.
For these stories and more, visit MediaMatters.org.
Melting polar ice was a dirty look. Shrinking glaciers, a nudge. Then dying coral reefs pushed us hard. Rising ocean temperatures and extreme weather, an uppercut. Then record-breaking heat waves hit us right where it hurts. Has it occurred to anyone that maybe the Earth is trying to get our attention?
We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. To find out how, go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show with Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans issues. We're talking about pulling out. Yeah, coming out of Iraq. How long is it going to take and whose plan will actually be used? Lots of other issues in the news. Secretary Gates talking about closing Guantanamo. We'll hear a quote coming up. And your calls and comments are welcome at toll-free 888-5-PETER-B. Take a caller here. It is our friend Brian in Manchester, New Hampshire. Thanks for all the emails you sent me, Brian. I appreciate your input. What's on your mind today?
Okay, for Scott and your listenership there, we used to have something, a branch of the service called the United States Marine Corps used to offer security personnel to all American embassies worldwide. I don't know what's happened now with this Blackwater nonsense, and even in the green zone in Baghdad, I believe that the Marine Corps could do a much more lawful and human rights protecting job there than these corrupt war profiteers from Blackwater. But I wanted to get into...
Well, hold on. We got time for you, Brian. Let's take them one at a time. Scott, what's your reaction there to his comment?
Well, they're still guarding embassies. And here's the funny thing, Peter, a lot of people don't know. When they go to the embassies, they actually fall under the State Department and are paid by the State Department. It's very strange. I didn't know that until I actually worked at the embassy. Right. And, Peter, you and I had this conversation about a year and a half ago that they should take a Marine battalion and station it in the green zone to do nothing but convoy security and remove it. I don't know why the State Department feels it has the need for Blackwater when they have one of the finest security organizations in the world that already works for them.
Do you think this goes back to the divide between Rumsfeld and Powell in the early days of the war?
That's possible. I mean, that's very possible.
Because Rumsfeld was, you know, now he, of course, would control the Marines, and in some respects, it kind of counters my argument. But there was such, competitiveness between Rumsfeld and Powell. Powell had a whole plan for the reconstruction of Iraq, and Rumsfeld said, well, you can keep that, General, because we're going to run it. And, they put Condi Rice, when she was National Security Advisor, in charge of Iraq, and she did such a fabulous job, they promoted her to Secretary of State. But my point is that there was that jockeying going on in the early days, and perhaps State said, well, Rumsfeld's not on our team. We've got to have people who really respond to us.
That's very possible. And, of course, you can't get Marines when you're working through an officer, a battalion commander, to do stuff that's illegal, like fire into unarmed crowds. So I'm not exactly sure why they continue to use Blackwater, especially since they won the war and we're getting ready to pull out. So I don't know why they haven't kicked them out already and begin to transition more and more Marines. You would expect a full Marine battalion to be working in the green zone this time next year, and I would be surprised if they weren't there. And working under the State Department, not as a combat unit per se.
Yeah. And the other issue related to the contractors and Blackwater in particular is that the Iraqis are balking under the new SOFA agreement in terms of extending the license for Blackwater to operate in their country. And so Blackwater, I think, is getting it from both sides. I predict they'll be looking for a face-saving way to pull out.
Yeah, they're going to go after pirates, Peter. They're going to just go after pirates, and they're going to shift their efforts, and it's going to be a worldwide shift, and, you know, they're going to be operating as pirates on pirates.
Uh-huh. Brian, you had another comment.
Yeah, there's a good opportunity off the coast of Somalia, apparently, for Blackwater. I think they're highly qualified in that area. But I would like to say something about that. President Bush, that Iraqi shoe-thrower incident the other day, it looked almost like I'm a Three Stooges fan. I admit it. I don't have any culture. But it looks like almost it was staged, because it looks almost like it was a rehearsed event the way Bush was ready to, and the perfect basically thrown two shoes there. But he did say something. Well, he has a right to do that. President Bush said that because Iraq is now a free republic. That is nonsense to me. But if they, instead of taking the brigades out, Scott, like the American brigades, take the contractors out first, I would say. But also, if they really believe they wanted to free Iraq instead of free Iraqi people from the oil wells, why don't they have a free Iraqi army like we had the free French army, the free Polish army that fought alongside my beloved father in World War II Italy? Why don't they have like 20 or 30,000 Iraqi young men from Shia and Sunni and Kurdish and et cetera backgrounds in Iraq coming to serve in an American-style boot camp here in Fort Bliss or whatever fort base here in America? They let them out on weekends, too, to see that the Americans of all races and backgrounds get along together, and they could take that kind of spirit back to Iraq with them. What would you say to that?
So you think we feed them Twinkies and Big Macs and fries?
Well, that's more effective than bullets.
All right. Go ahead, Scott.
I don't like the idea of bringing large masses of foreigners to the country. I think having their officers come and their non-commissioned officers come to participate in specifically structured programs for, you know, professional development. We do right now have programs, say, at the Marshall Center, where especially important after the wall came down, where they brought people from the old side of the Iron Curtain to study democratic principles and how a civilian government controls the military, et cetera, et cetera. But, the exchange program with the senior officers, middle grade and NCOs would be great. That's a really smart idea to go back and – but then again, you know, I'm not sure we can trust the Iraqis right now.
Yeah, it's not a democracy like President Bush says. I'm just trying to be a little bit satirical with that.
Well, Brian, we've got a situation of blowback and payback where the Shiites are determined not to let the Sunnis gain any advantage in the new government that the U.S. created because they saw what happened under Saddam, and they can't overcome that lesson. And it's understandable. What's incomprehensible is that Bush and his cronies didn't get that and never understood it, as they permitted this whole thing to evolve by picking Maliki, by holding elections where you didn't actually vote for a candidate, you voted for a political party. And those parties were defined by religious and cultural divides. And that has led to the ethnic cleansing that Bush always conveniently overlooks when he talks about the reduction of violence in Iraq and in Baghdad in particular. But, you know, we've created a series of ugly situations that will play out for a long time to come. And we are actually, you know, in many cases responsible for creating these very toxic situations among the parties.
The power vacuum after Saddam, yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, sir.
All right, Brian, thank you. Go ahead, Scott.
And Peter, the power vacuum hasn't completely sealed shut yet when we leave. And that's one reason some of the Sunni legislators don't want us to leave so fast. It's like, not so fast. You screwed up the whole power structure, and now when you leave, it's going to be a bloodbath. That's what they're projecting, and that's why they haven't, they're not so want to lay down their arms. And of course, Maliki wants them to lay down their arms. He's declared them to be, I think, illegal enemy non-combatants. Maybe he's looking to take over Gitmo.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of Gitmo, the defense secretary who served under Bush, who will serve under Obama, and that still is hard for me to accept, Robert Gates gave an interview, I think, to Charlie Rose of PBS. And let's listen to a clip here.
One of the things that they say has stained Americans' reputation is Guantanamo. It is often said that the president-elect has said that he wants to do something about it. President Bush has said that he's not in favor of Guantanamo. Why hasn't it been taken down? Why hasn't there been a change in Guantanamo? What's the problem?
Well, I think that there are some problems that need to be dealt with, probably in statute, to be able to close it. I think that we can provide alternatives to it. But as an example, you probably want something in legislation that says if somebody is freed from Guantanamo, they don't have an automatic right to asylum in the United States. Some of these people are very dangerous, and we don't want them coming here into the United States. I think these problems are solvable, and my guess is...
So on balance, you'd like to see it?
I would like to see it closed, and I think it'll be a high priority for the new administration.
How long will it take?
Well, it partly depends on the statute. It partly depends on how quickly we can return some of these people, can persuade other countries to take some of these prisoners back. Truth is, there are a number of these people we're ready to release right now, but we can't find a country that will take them back, or we can't find a country that we can be sure won't further imprison them and mistreat them.
Yeah, what an what an irony here. Do you have your irony meter out there, Scott?
Yeah, the top just it's creeping up there.
Yeah. Now, first of all, what Gates said there, it's nice that his intention and his desire is to close Guantanamo. But he sets up false choices, and they're consistent with the false frames offered by Dick Cheney. And just before we get into that, another juicy quote from Cheney saying, you know, you can't. If you're not going to have a place to locate them like Guantanamo, then you either have to bring them here to the continental United States. And I don't know any member of Congress who's volunteering to have Al-Qaeda terrorists deposited in his district, or you've got to turn them over to some foreign government. Now, first of all, not all of the people at Guantanamo are quote-unquote Al-Qaeda terrorists. Many of them aren't terrorists at all. They're innocent people who were sold into bounty early in the going in Afghanistan, and we have released some of these people. A court ordered five individuals returned to Bosnia last week,
right,
and it actually happened. That was refreshing because we're still waiting for the order of Judge Ricardo Urbina to be honored to release up to 18 of these Chinese national Uyghurs. It's
right.
A Muslim group. And they cannot go home to China, but that is not an excuse to keep them at Guantanamo Bay. There are people who have volunteered to accept them into their communities here in the United States. And since these people are not quote-unquote terrorists or Al-Qaeda terrorists, then we've got to move away from branding anybody who's ever been to Guantanamo Bay as automatically a terrorist.
Well, of course, it's ridiculous. It's the circular logic, or actually just the circular apology for having Guantanamo. Well, we can't release those terrorists because the worst of the worst. No, they're not. Well, they wouldn't be there if they weren't terrorists. Well, yes, they were. See, they just go around. Do you want those terrorists from Guantanamo in your backyard?
Yeah.
At least they could do is to rebuild a portion of that and make their stay there less torturous. To keep them in those cages. And they need to close that interrogation wing immediately because that's a direct violation of the Geneva Convention.
Mm-hmm.
So as they sort through this, it may take them as many months to close Guantanamo as it does to get the troops out of Iraq. But in the meantime, it is a continuing, festering wound that is a giant recruiting poster for Al-Qaeda, for anybody, not just Al-Qaeda. I mean, that's the Republicans' favorite terrorist or 10-foot-tall terrorist. This is for anybody who's fighting mad. He becomes fighting mad over this.
But let me outline a couple of steps here that I think could clarify this and make for a much faster process. Number one, we only have charges pending against about a dozen people who are currently held out of the 250 or so that populate Guantanamo. If we charged everyone who deserves to be charged, then that would help us evaluate where they go. If they're charged with very serious crimes of terrorism or acts of war against Americans in the battlefield, then they should be charged and, I believe, delivered to a military tribunal, not the kind set up under the Military Commissions Act, but the traditional military justice courts. And if the charges against them are less, then they should simply be inserted into the criminal courts. The district court in Miami would be a good place to start. And then those who are not charged should be summarily released, and we should deal with the repatriation problem. Not all of them can go home. I understand that. Well, we can sort through that and either bring them to the United States and keep them under some kind of minimum security until we're satisfied that they are not any kind of a threat, or we can find a friendly third nation to accept them. But I do not believe that this is an insoluble set of issues, and if we simply followed the legal process that we use in almost any other criminal case, like the one we used against Timothy McVeigh, which was riddled with problems, by the way,
sure.
You know, we would have much more clarity on this issue, and we would narrow the field to just a handful of critical suspects who are there right now.
And Peter, 2 points. First, did you hear Gates refer to them as prisoners?
Yep. That's progress.
If it's progress. And second, since when did it become illegal to be
on the battlefield as a combatant. So just because the person was engaged in combat on the battlefield does not make them a war criminal or triable.
Yeah.
So show me the money. Show me the war crime that this person supposedly committed. I'm not sure that in an international court of law, the fact that you conspired to kill Americans on the field of battle is unlawful.
Well, but it's this murky, undeclared war. In Iraq, that's a fairly, you know, a much clearer situation. In Afghanistan and the other places where we have snatched people, it is more murky.
But, Peter, when you have 200 Taliban operatives, 200 Taliban conduct a nighttime, conventional, very successful attack on a night OP, for example, like when those nine soldiers were killed,
right?
How is that terrorism?
Well, I understand your point, but I'm not sure that there's anybody at Guantanamo who fits that profile. I just don't know because it hasn't been properly defined who is there, what they would be charged with if we ever, you know, bothered to charge them.
Well,
and so that's my fundamental here.
Right.
Charge the people who deserve to be charged and release the others.
Well, like
that will simplify the process immensely.
Yeah, well, like the kid who was accused of throwing a hand grenade at a military vehicle. That's not a war crime.
Thank you, Scott. We'll continue in just a moment. I'm Peter B. Collins. You can call in and talk with us. 888-5. Peter B. is our number. And my personal email is humblehost@peterbcollins.com.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. In Santa Cruz, on Southbound Highway 17, just south of Mount Hermon Road, there's a pedestrian in the roadway. And on Lakeview Road at Lakeview Drive, a vehicle has hit a light pole. The pole may fall at any moment, so proceed with caution there. In weather, your forecast for tonight is mostly cloudy with a chance of rain. Lows will be in the mid-40s. Tomorrow we'll have rain and highs will be in the mid-50s. Saturday is going to be partly cloudy with highs in the 50s and lows in the 40s. That's your traffic and weather on AM 540. Enjoy your evening, everyone. The Peter B. Collins Show will be right back.
If you transfer your IRAs, 401ks, or any retirement accounts today, we will add 10% to your full account value. $100,000 becomes $110,000, $400,000 becomes $440,000, and $700,000 becomes $770,000. My name is Stephen DeJohn, president of the DeJohn Advisory Team. I was on the cover of Senior Market Advisor magazine because I protect my clients' money, and I can guarantee an income for life. We don't recommend stocks, mutual funds, or variable annuities. These are risky securities. And with securities, you have unlimited upside, but you also have unlimited downside. Our clients do not lose money in negative markets. Do you have a multi-generational IRA? Why not? It's been your right since 2001. Don't let Uncle Sam be your biggest beneficiary because your broker or banker is sleeping at the wheel. Call us right now at 866-515-6669 to receive your free video and brochure. We will then set up your free IRA and retirement checkup at one of our nationwide locations. Call 866-515-6669. It's a new year and it's time for change. Call 866-515-6669.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, PattyRossCarmel.com.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues. Coming up at the top of next hour, David K. Johnston returns. He used to write about money and finance for the New York Times. He's going to explain the zero interest rate now offered to banks by the Fed and two categories of problem mortgages that haven't even hit the fan yet, and more foreclosures are predicted due to these over the next few years. We'll detail that for you coming up just about 12 minutes away here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We continue with Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans affairs, and he's on the air after me every weeknight on KRXA 540 AM in Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. What are you going to talk about tonight, Scott?
Oh, you got me.
Well, you got time.
I was just thinking about the Alt-A loans, and I've been covering the Alt-A and saying Alt-A and saying that this real estate market hasn't dropped to the bottom yet. It's going to tank June of next year.
Yeah.
And I've been talking about it for about 2 months, so I was I had it warm and fuzzy when I saw it covered on 60 Minutes. I scooped them, Peter. How's that?
Well, good for you, because that was the first place I heard about it.
So, oh, you don't listen to my show, do you?
Not too often, I'm sorry. I do occasionally, but...
You know, after 3 hours of live radio, you don't want to listen to two more?
I don't.
I don't blame you.
So, Scott, a couple of items here. One is you often help me cut through the Pentagon speak. What's an enhanced SRB and the bear programs, because they're about to be cut?
Well, enhanced service selective reenlistment bonus is the way to get people to stay in that might not want to stay in unless you give them big wads of cash.
Mm-hmm.
And the BEAR program,
that stands for
bonus extension and retraining. Ha! Beat you to it.
Yeah.
So the BEAR program offered. I mean, I remember the old BEAR when I was on. You could go to college and then and come back as an officer if you're an enlisted guy, and you could reenlist for that. And then they'd own you for a long time afterwards. But as I've been predicting, when this expansion, the big expansion of the military, the Army, reaches the peak when they finish, and the economy changes, which it has, they're going to slash and dash all of these bonuses. So the era. This will probably go down in history of one of the highest, most well-paid group of individuals ever. And as we sink and slink into this lousy economy, more and more people enlist, which means they raise the standard and they cut the bonuses, because when you have three people vying for the same job, they don't have to pay them, but they're just happy to get a paycheck.
Yeah. So these bonuses range from $1,500 to $29,000. How many people get the top amount?
Well, those guys are in, if you just imagine a giant Excel spreadsheet with microscopic printing, and then try to find your way among all the columns and rows to find your exact rank, your exact amount of time in service, your exact military occupational specialty, and how many years you've been doing that. And then it depends on, do you reenlist for, do you extend for a year, do you reenlist for two, do you reenlist for three, do you reenlist for four? You can, in some cases, you can even reenlist for six. So when you, if you're in a highly sought after specialty, like, let's say, I'm making this up, explosive ordnance disposal, and you sign up for 6 years, then you're going to get a much bigger bonus than, say, an infantryman who signs up for two, even though they want him, or a power-trained mechanic on armored combat vehicles is not going to get a very big bonus versus a truck driver who probably is not going to get any bonus to stay in. So it's there was a time when they just needed people to stay in, and so they're paying all sorts of money to anybody who asked for it, and now they're going to go back to military occupational specialties and time and grade, time and service.
And the money aside, are they still allowing people with convictions to, I'm talking criminal convictions, to join the military?
As far as I know, they have not reduce the enlistment age. It's still 42. 42, Peter.
Oh, man. That's amazing.
And they still haven't, I haven't seen anything saying they're going to stop giving waivers for felony convictions. So, of course, they have to be adjudicated and judged and evaluated, and that kind of nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
But when they come flush with troops, then that'll go, and they still have 43,000 troops on stop loss. So hopefully they can free those indentured servants up as well.
Scott, just 1 minute remaining, and you told me there's a new Russian weapons system you wanted to tell us about?
Well, the Army's been working on a program, an active protective system, which it detects incoming rounds to an armored vehicle and then launches a counter round
like a ballistic missile, anti-ballistic missile deal. And so it is not due to be fielded until 2015, and the Russians are already testing and touting a prototype that launches two rounds. The first round is a dummy round that fools the protective system, and the other one, so they engage it, and the second one skates through and destroys this vehicle.
Did they test that out in Georgia last summer?
I wouldn't doubt it. I bet you $100 they did. And it's a big round. It'll go through 16 feet of wooden barrier.
Wow. And do we have an equivalent?
Not yet. Not that I know of, but there's always something in the skunk tanks in the dark, deep, black budget someplace.
Remember Sputnik.
Yeah.
Scott Dick, thank you very much. Always a pleasure to talk with you. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Kwanzaa. However you celebrate, I hope it's a good one.
You're welcome, Peter. You too.
All right. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bonjour, this is Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. I've created a special offer for you to try my French wines made from organically grown grapes. For a limited time, when you buy two bottles, you get one bottle free, and I'll even pay for the shipping. I know you love the taste of these handcrafted wines from my ancestors' lands, especially if you care about our planet and your health. Imagine, you can have organic French wine delivered to your door for less than $12 a bottle. I've made this free wine and free shipping offer available to you because I believe you'll become a lifelong customer once you've tasted our wines. The French Bouquet Collection at ecowine.com includes my red Chateau Véronique from Languedoc, my white Viognier, and my Blanquette de Limoux sparkling wine. All French, organically grown, and affordable.
For free delivery, click on ecowine.com/Peter B. That's ecowine.com/.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Paying with plastic should become a bit less painful in the years ahead. Today, government regulators announced new rules to limit credit card interest rate hikes and give cardholders adequate time to make their payments. But as CBS News correspondent Randall Pinkston reports, there's a downside.
The new protection comes with a price. The banking industry warns interest rates on new cards will go up, and getting a credit card will be harder too.
Particularly for people who are new to credit or have had problems in the past.
The new rules don't take effect until July 2010. Until then, companies are expected to continue slashing credit limits and hiking rates on many consumers.
I want to talk to you about my total annual interest rate.
People like Maria Pope.
Okay.
Despite always paying on time, the interest rates on her cards just skyrocketed to almost 30%.
I would be better off going to the mob for money.
The new rules will not limit punitive rate hikes for late payments. The focus of the auto industry bailout has been on emergency loans from the TARP fund, but today President Bush said an orderly bankruptcy might be preferable.
No question the bankruptcy court is the best way to sort through credit and debt and restructuring. No question. These aren't normal circumstances. That's the problem.
Mr. Bush said he still hasn't made a decision, but one thing he wants to avoid is a disorderly bankruptcy that would have ripple effects across the economy. The industry is resisting bankruptcy, saying it would make a bad situation worse. WWJ Radio's Jeff Gilbert has that.
About half of those who are reluctant to buy from a bankrupt car company say government protection would reassure them. But Art Spinella of C&W Market Research says that still leaves about 40% of customers who would avoid a bankrupt brand under all circumstances.
Even with government support, the cut is so dramatic and so draconian, it would be tough for any car company to be able to survive it.
Biggest concern, says Spinella, their car wouldn't be worth anything when they go to sell it. Jeff Gilbert, CBS News, Detroit.
In the oil market, the bottom of the barrel is in sight. The price plunged nearly $4 today to $36.56 a barrel. Analyst Peter Butel says that's sure to bring gasoline prices even lower.
The one really bright spot in the economy right now is that consumers are getting what is the equivalent of an outstanding tax break each and every day at the pump.
He says every 1 cent reduction in price returns $4 million a day to consumers. The current national average is $1.67 a gallon. Another bright spot of the economy is the sharp decline in mortgage rates. This week, the average for a 30-year fixed-rate loan is down to 5.19%. That's prompted a surge in refinancing and should help revive the housing market. The Dow lost 219 points today, closing at 8604. This is CBS News.
Hey guys, it's time to drop a helpful hint. Send everyone who's looking to get you a great gift to the men's store inside JCPenney. You might casually mention it's where they'll find the brands you trust. Dockers, Levi's, Stafford, Van Heusen, Izod, and Nike. Or slip them an anonymous note saying they'll get great deals like 50 to 60% off men's shirts, jackets, sweaters, and fleece. You'll be glad you sent them. The men's store makes it easy for all your gift-getters to get in, find it, and get out. JCPenney.
Maybe it's just me being a coach and all, but I thought winning was supposed to be hard. So Staples is doing this gifted for free thing where 10,000 people are going to win their entire purchase. GPSs, digital cameras. You know what? You're awesome at listening to the radio. You deserve a trophy or something, too. I mean, everyone else is winning these days. 10,000 winners, everything in the cards. Where's the challenge, Staples? Go to giftedforfree.com if you absolutely must. No purchase necessary. Go to giftedforfree.com for official rules. Must be 18 or older. Ends 12-24-08. I win.
Eating late at night. When it comes to taking care of ourselves, conventional wisdom isn't necessarily wise. CBS News correspondent Dave Barrett has the lowdown on some medical myths.
When it gets blustery, your mom would say, don't forget that hat, but...
There's no scientific evidence to suggest that if you go out in the cold, you are going to catch a cold.
What if kids eat too many treats? Do they get out of control because of too much sugar?
Many, many parents believe this to be true, but there are good studies that show that it's just not true.
At Indiana University, Rachel Vreeman's a mythbuster. Partying? Eating late at night won't make you gain weight, though just eating more, period, would. And popping an aspirin, eating bananas or even Vegemite won't cure your holiday hangover. Dave Barrett, CBS News.
Want to attract every dog in the neighborhood? Burger King is selling a men's body spray called Flame. It's said to have the scent of seduction with a hint of flame-broiled meat. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Individual results may vary. Program not available in all states.
Tired of credit card debt with high rates and high monthly payments? There's powerful free information credit card companies don't want you to know. If you have more than $10,000 in credit card debt, you have the power to settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. We're Credit Answers, and we'd like to show you how to settle your credit card debt with low monthly payments you can afford. Call 1-800-400-6823. That's 1-800-400-6823. 1-800-400-6823.
And now, another reason to switch to GEICO.
Instead of paying more for car insurance, you'd rather pay less. Call you crazy, but for some strange reason, you like saving money. And guess what? With things like money-saving rates, multi-car discounts, and good driver discounts, GEICO's always looking for ways to lower what you pay for great car insurance. Huh. Guess you can call us crazy, too.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Later this hour, we'll open up the phone lines in the free speech zone and hear your comments on all the issues of the day. You know our toll-free number. It's 888-5-PETER-B. But first, David K. Johnston checks in with us on the Money Meltdown. Isn't it nice in the latter half of 2008 we're all feeling lighter in our wallets and our bank and stock accounts? Has a certain leveling effect, I guess. David K. Johnston spent many years writing about money and tax issues for the New York Times. He is retired from the Times now and has several books that you would be interested in. The paperback edition is just arriving of Free Lunch, how the wealthiest Americans enrich themselves at government expense and stick you with the bill, and Perfectly Legal is an earlier title from 2004 and 5, and that's subtitled with the block-long subtitle, The Covert Campaign to Rig Our Tax System to Benefit the Super Rich and Cheat Everybody Else. David, you're always welcome on our program.
Well, Peter, thank you for having me.
Well, it's my pleasure because you understand things that I'm still struggling with. And there's so much going on these days, it's hard to keep tabs on everything. I wanted to start off with the report on 60 Minutes earlier this week that my friend Scott Dick, who was on just before you, said he knew about Alt-A and option arms for a long time and has been talking about it. But I was not aware of the threat that's posed to our financial stability by another package of mortgages that have yet to really hit the full effect in causing foreclosures and other dislocation in the market. So first of all, tell us about Alt-A loans and why they are problematic.
Well, Alt-A, there's actually two loans that are problematic, Peter. One is called Alt-A and one is called option mortgages, option payment mortgages. Alt-A stands for Alternative A Paper. It's mortgages that are not to credit-worthy borrowers who would get a regular prime mortgage, which is the traditional mortgage market, but it's also not subprime, which are people who are considered very risky. And often these are people who got loans without having to produce any documentation. You know, they sometimes are called liar's loans.
No doc, yeah.
Yeah, you just said I made so much. They didn't say, well, we want your paycheck stub for the last 3 months. And the problem with these loans is that typically they were written in a way that they start off like credit card offers with a very low interest rate, like 1.9%. And then at some point down the road, they have a reset feature. And that reset feature can take your loan, more typically a loan at, say, 5%, and very quickly turn it into a 10, 11, 12% mortgage. These were taken out principally by people who thought the housing market would rise forever, so they would buy a house now, hold it for a while, pay a very low interest charge, and then flip it to some other buyer, a strategy that works until the last fool has been found.
And so what is the graph that they showed on 60 Minutes was really scary, David, because it showed kind of like a snake swallowing a critter much bigger than itself, and the package of subprime loans has, you know, largely worked itself through the snake, not entirely, but largely, and what is looming over the next 3 years are these Alt-A and option arms that appear to be as deadly to the financial system as the subprimes have been.
Correct. Something on the order of 60% of all the mortgages taken out in 2006 were Alt-A or option mortgages. And this reset feature comes a little ways down the road. Not very much will occur in 2009, but the economy is going to encounter plenty of problems without this. But in 2010 and 2011, the number of Alt-A mortgages that will come for reset is enormous. The total value of Alt-A mortgages issued is about 20%, a little less than that, bigger than the subprime mortgages.
Wow.
So this is an even bigger problem. And if you were a speculator who was trying to flip something for more money and you're not living in that house, you have tenants, boy, you have no incentive to do anything but walk away. So this will further add to the problem where here you went out and bought a responsible mortgage on a house and are behaving responsibly, and suddenly half of the houses in your neighborhood or even just the two or three on your block go dark. And this damages the value of your house because there's all this inventory out there.
Well, and this really hit home with me, David. I told my listeners about this the other day, and it's worth repeating. Over this past weekend, I met with a young couple. They're in their early 30s, and they bought their first home from my partner, Kathy, who's a real estate agent, about 2 years ago. They paid $529,000, which is a very low-priced home here in the Bay Area. And that house is
now...
For
those of us who don't live in the Bay Area, although I used to, you know, that sounds like a hellacious price for a house. Yes.
Well, this was a little three-bedroom, one-bath near the Richmond Refinery, all right?
Just to give you... one of the great high-income areas of the Bay Area.
Right. They went where they could afford to buy. In order to qualify for their mortgage, they brought in a partner who rented a room in the house and was on the deed and on the mortgage. She lost her job 3 months ago and can no longer contribute to the mortgage payment. And they are in the process now because they called their bank and met with them and asked for a workout of some sort. And the bank said, no, not until you're in default. So they are now going to stop paying on their mortgage. They know that their credit will be ruined for at least 7, maybe 10 years. But they really don't have any choice. And they don't have a subprime loan. They don't have an adjustable loan. It's a 10-year fixed. So it's not the loan itself that is the problem. And so this is a whole category of people affected by layoffs and cutbacks and some of the other, you know, downsizing squeezes in our economy. And they don't even show up, you know, on these projections of the, you know, the next wave here of the Alt-A and Option ARMs.
Right. And that's why, Peter, I've said on your show before that this is going to get much, much worse before it gets better. We have all of these assets out there that were artificially inflated. The government was instrumental in doing this. This was all done in this notion that, well, we don't need government regulation. That just, you know, punishes the productive part of the economy, and it prevents us from realizing the real benefits of capitalism, when, in fact, what it's done is totally undermined it.
Mm-hmm.
By creating these problems that now are sinking lots of people who behaved responsibly. You know, I feel sorry for your friends and for a lot of other people. I have a very direct understanding of this. When I was 22 years old and lived in Sunnyvale, California, I went out and bought a house with my own money. That house sold recently for $1 million. It's just a little starter house, a little stucco house. It strikes me, first of all, as crazy that you would pay that kind of money to live in this little starter house. But secondly, as these housing prices fall, people who bought at the top of the market, even if they did everything right, they put 20% down, they got a fixed rate mortgage, they took out a 10-year mortgage because they were going to pay it back in a hurry, they're going to be hurt too because we allowed these incredibly unsound economics. Now, did you hear what President Bush said this afternoon in an interview?
No, tell me.
Well, he said the reason he went for the bailout, and here he was speaking to his constituency, was because he was told that this could be worse than the Great Depression, and he didn't want this to start on his watch.
Oh, what a great guy.
And first of all, this will not be worse than the Great Depression. We have all sorts of mechanisms now that pump money into the economy. It's going to be awful, but its destruction will be principally of wealth. It will not be on the order of what we saw. We now know how to do things to address that. But
I hope you're right.
This is going to get much worse, Peter. And the problem with the Alt-A mortgages, and we haven't even gotten to the option ARM mortgages, the Alt-A mortgage problem will really start to arise in early 2010, and in 2011 it will be as big as the subprime was this year.
So talk about option ARMs.
Well, an option ARM are those ads you saw that said, you know, you can borrow money and pay 1.9%.
Mm-hmm.
They were all over the Internet with little dancing figures and whatnot telling you could do this. And what happened is the real cost of your mortgage was, say, 6%. You paid 2%. So that meant your balance went up at the end of a year by 4%. And if you had a $500,000 mortgage, that means you added $20,000 to your mortgage balance at the end of that period. But there comes a point down the road with these mortgages, typically 3 years, where they reset. And now you've got to start paying at a higher interest rate and start paying real money. And your payment can not just double. In some cases, it can triple or quadruple.
Wow.
And so we're also going to see people walking away from those. And, you know, even some academics who have websites promoting mortgages were saying, well, this is a good idea if you are simply buying a property to flip it, ignoring that buying a property to flip it is a really risky activity. And when a very few people do it, there's one effect. But when it becomes common and widespread, then when this Ponzi scheme, and that's what it is, it's just a massive Ponzi scheme of the kind whose effect is not that different than Bernie Madoff's on Wall Street.
Right.
When it comes to an end, you know, everybody who wasn't in the very beginning of it, all the rest of those people, plus all the people standing around, they get damaged and they get really hurt.
David K. Johnston with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. If you have a question or comment, you can call me now. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. We'll continue in a moment. Talk about the new Fed action of near zero rates for the banks and whether that will have the desired effect. And if there's time, we'll talk about Bernie Madoff, too. That's ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, inexpensive Mandarin and Cantonese food prepared to order every day. The May family invites you to savor their authentic Chinese dishes and tasty soups like congee and wonton noodle. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.75 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Hello, this is Solazar.
Hi, I'm Carolani.
Good Vibrations, Tools for Transformation, is being preempted by sports programming on Saturdays in December. We'll run encore presentations of some of your favorite shows on the Internet. So tune in.
Good Vibrations.
Saturdays from 7 to 9 p.m.
on AM 540 KRXA.
The patient's not responding to the treatment.
I know. That imaginary jingle telling him to go where again?
Coffeetopia.
I've seen this condition before. It is very contagious.
What happened?
Nothing really. Everyone had a cup of coffee and a bagel. Speaking of which, let's go have a cup.
Where should we go?
Coffee, coffee, coffeetopia.
What was that?
And so, it begins again.
For the best coffee, tea, or smoothies in the Monterey Bay Area, visit Coffeetopia. With three locations in Santa Cruz, 3701 Portola Drive near Pleasure Point, 1723 Mission Street on the west side, and the newest Coffeetopia at 1443 Capitola Road in the Live Oak area. Coffeetopia is also the oldest internet cafe in Santa Cruz, with wireless and by-the-minute computer stations. Other places use ice as fillers for their smoothies, but not Coffeetopia. They use all fruit and juices when making their delicious smoothies, and they also feature tropical, high-energy acai smoothies, bagels, and fresh baked goods.
Coffee, coffee, Coffeetopia.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Good evening, everyone. This is Thea Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. On Highway 68, just west of County Road G20, we have a moving roadway hazard on the right shoulder. And in Salinas on the northbound 101, just north of Barondo Road, there is a pedestrian walking in the center divider, so watch out for him. And weather, tonight will be mostly cloudy and cold. Lows will be in the mid-40s. On Friday, we'll have showers, and highs will be in the mid-50s. Here's some temperatures for this evening. Monterey and Salinas are both 52 degrees, and Santa Cruz is 51 degrees. That's your traffic and weather on AM 540. Have a great evening, and stay with the Peter B. Collins Show.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 22 minutes after the hour. I was offended recently when Toyota was using this Fix song for a commercial.
Maybe someday,
but Ben Bernanke has embraced the zero thing, and David K. Johnston is here to help us understand what it is and what it might do. The Fed has lowered the rate for banks to, 25 basis points or zero in some cases. Tell me how that works, David, and what the impact will be also on their plan to buy long-term Treasury bonds to try to buy down those rates.
Well, banks, Peter, borrow money back and forth between each other. Think of a huge river of cash that flows all among the banking system. And some banks have a surplus of cash on one day and a shortage on another, so they borrow overnight.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially they're going to be borrowing at a rate of zero. Here's what 25 basis points means on it. It costs a quarter, 25 cents, to borrow $100 for a year.
Wow.
And you're only borrowing overnight.
Yeah.
So for all practical purposes, money is free at this point.
Yeah.
The reason that the rates are so low is that we have lots of people who have cash, especially at the top of the economy, because of these policies we followed for the last three decades, and they can see that prices are falling. We've had 4 months in a row now falling prices. So if you were thinking about buying a new Maserati, you know, why not wait? In 6 months more, it'll probably be even cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
You were thinking about buying a television set, even a washer and dryer or a replacement telephone. Gee, $39.95 for a telephone, maybe if I wait a month, it'll be $29.95. And once that sets in, which is called a deflation, it's awful, and it's very hard to stop. It is far worse than anything but the most ruinous inflation rates of the kind we've never seen in this country. We know in Zimbabwe we're...
Yeah.
A million units of the local currency might buy you a loaf of bread today, but by tomorrow it won't buy you a crumb.
Yeah.
And so what the government is trying to do here is signal that it wants to make sure we don't have a deflation and encourage people to spend. And the theory is that if it's cheap enough to borrow, if it's so cheap that it's absurd not to borrow, that people will then borrow to finance things.
Okay. And what about this idea of buying long-term treasury bills and trying to bring those rates down? What's the that's to try to help the mortgage market so that long-term money is cheaper?
That's correct. One of the oddities of this is, of course, is that the government only directly sets these rates at which the banks borrow in the Federal Reserve System.
Mm-hmm.
So lots of people out there still have credit cards at 29.99% interest on which they're paying for pizzas they ate 5 years ago. Mortgage rates have come down somewhat, but banks are also incredibly reluctant to approve people for mortgages. So if you aren't in the top 10% or so of Americans in terms of the quality of your credit, and you don't have at least 20% and maybe more down, the banks are very reluctant to lend to you, and, mm-hmm. and part of the reason for that is they're concerned that you want to buy a $500,000 house. You come in and say, look, I have $100,000 to put down. I only want to borrow $400,000. The bank is thinking, well, yeah, but if housing prices fall to the 20%, you don't have anything in the house, and maybe you'll walk away from it.
Mm-hmm.
So stopping this deflation is a problem, and at the same time, Peter, and this is sort of the counterintuitive part of this, all together, these various government programs, which are heavily aimed towards Wall Street, that Bloomberg News, and they are very good at this, have calculated total $8 trillion now.
That's right.
That's the entire economic output of the country from January into the middle of summer. All of those programs together eventually will create inflationary pressure. So really smart folks right now are holding on to their who are in a strong economic position are holding on to their cash.
Sure.
They're not buying. They're not
mm-hmm.
borrowing. At some point, they will then go out and try to borrow money at fixed rates for long term. And then when the inflation begins, they will pay back far less than the real cost of their borrowing, which will create a whole set of problems. And all of this stems from this nutty idea that we could just get rid of all the rules on banking and the system would police itself.
Yeah, Bernie Madoff and the gang, they'll just police themselves, and that kind of self-regulation, really effective.
Right.
David, do you have another couple of minutes? Because I've got a couple of callers who want to talk to you. And I wanted to reference the new issue of Harper's has a cover story article by Joseph Stiglitz and Linda Bilmes, The $10 Trillion Hangover. And I want to recommend it to my listeners because it details the legacy of the Bush administration in terms of our economy. And it helps you understand how we got to where we are. The national debt is more than doubled. The consumer debt is up by more than 40% over the last 8 years. And most households have zero savings. That changed a little bit in this past quarter, but it's still a very serious problem. And this will give you an easy-to-read overview. It's not a dense economist treatise. It's a very well-written and easily understood explanation.
Joe is a very clear writer, and he's been constantly for years now attacked when, along with a bunch of others of us who've been warning about this, you know, time has proven that we were right. We were actually the conservatives in understanding what would happen here.
Yeah. David K. Johnston with us. He's agreed to stay over for a couple of minutes, so if you're on the line, stay there. And if you want to call, we'll try to fit you in. 888-5 Peter B. We'll move to the free speech zone after we finish with David, so feel free to join us with a comment on any issue of the day. 888-573-8372 puts you through to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. KRXA 540 AM is the home of Cal State University Monterey Bay Basketball. Hi, this is Rob Hunt, the voice of the CSUMB Otters, inviting you to join KRXA as we bring you the best of NCAA Division II basketball with the CSUMB Otters.
Notre Dame de Namur University is coming to the Kelp Bed this Saturday. The Otters are waiting for them courtside, 7:30 tip.
We all know the economy's experiencing some rough times, but some people seem to thrive even in tougher times than this. Want to own their secrets for yourself? Now you can dissolve away your own barriers and blocks to prosperity and success in life despite negative circumstances. Attend a very special transformational two-day event in beautiful Asilomar. The Monterey Center, your one-stop for mind, body, spirit wellness, proudly presents How to Prosper and Flourish with international personal transformation and success leader Rinaldo R. Robles, coming to the Monterey Peninsula in Asilomar for 2 days only on Saturday, January 31st and February 1st, 2009. Seating is limited. Call now to 831-641-9812 to reserve your ticket to success at Inspiring Asilomar Conference Grounds today. Call 831-641-9812. That number again, 641-9812.
Robin's Jewelry in Carmel is open every day for your holiday and gift shopping. Robin's Jewelry is one of a kind, unique, and stylish. She uses sterling silver and semi-precious stones and will customize a keepsake right there on the spot. Robin is a native Carmel artist and silversmith. She's located inside the Dowd Craft Studio at Ocean and San Carlos. Robin has a big selection of organic bling. Great jewelry that's affordable. With free engraving and gift wrapping, go to Robin's Jewelry in Carmel.
I don't know if you've read The Patriot Act. It's a very complicated thing. I must admit, I've not read it in its entirety. I skimmed it, and I'll save you the problem of even skimming it, because basically what it distills down to is the following. If we are going to be spreading democracy around the world, we ought not be wasting any of it here. But there we were, just dogging the French. And then boycott. I love that. Boycott French. French people. The irony of that was, I don't think it worked very much. I don't think the French economy crumbled, because the kind of people who are going to travel to France aren't exactly the kind of people to be duped by such nonsense. You know what I'm saying? I don't think there was a bunch of people somewhere in Missouri, you know, having an argument and whatnot. Well, Edna, too bad. We ain't going to Paris this summer.
That's Johnny Steele. I'm Richard Stockton with a minute from the Planet Cruise Comedy Hour.
This is
PWT News. We are here at the North Pole where scandal has erupted. Accusations, rumors, and all-out attacks are flying fast and furious around Santa's Toy Shop this holiday season. Can St. Nicholas himself really be guilty of sexual harassment against one of the reindeer? Can... Look, there's Dasher. Dasher, can you comment on the scandal?
You want a comment? I got a comment. I don't know what happened. I don't know, and I don't want to know.
Can Christmas be saved in the face of these accusations?
I'm flying. I'll be leading the eight this year, next year, every year.
And does Mrs. Claus have a drinking problem?
Lady, what the are you talking about?
Paperwing Theater Company presents the dark Christmas comedy, The Eight Reindeer Monologues, December 5th through 22nd at 320 Hoffman Avenue in Monterey. Get tickets at the door or by calling 675-0521. The Eight Reindeer Monologues is a tart alternative to candy cane Christmas cheer. Call 675-0521 to reserve tickets now. Come and see what all the eight reindeer have to say about this scandal. Call 675-0521 now.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
Can't touch this. Can't touch this. Can't touch this.
Yeah, just don't touch that button on your radio. Leave it right here on the Peter B. Collins Show because we're not done. David K. Johnston has been kind enough to hang over with us to take some calls here. His most recent book is due out in paperback in just a few days. It's called Free Lunch, How the Wealthiest Americans Enrich Themselves at Government Expense and Stick You with the Bill. You're going to have to update that after this bailout round, David?
Well, I'm working on the next book already, which is the... And take us into other new realms, but I do hope in the paperback we get a lot more people to understand how much of the tax system is subsidizing the super wealthy and impoverishing the rest of us.
You want to tease us on your forthcoming book?
Well, it's called The Fine Print, and it's about how the headline is, you know, you have various guarantees and rights the government has provided you with. The fine print is about how the lobbyists, those 35,000 lobbyists in Washington and in the state capitals, have undone those guarantees.
Mm-hmm.
For example, your pension is supposed to be guaranteed. You can easily lose 85% of your supposedly guaranteed pension.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the airline employees learned that the hard way.
Yes.
And that pension bailout fund is underfunded by how much?
Don't know the number off the top of my head, but it's pennies on the dollar that they're being put that are there.
Yeah, very good. Let's take some calls. Thanks for holding on. Catherine in Monterey, you're on with David K. Johnston. Go right ahead.
Hi, David. I have a question for you about reverse mortgages. Are these designed to bilk older people out of their homes, or are they really a good deal?
Well, that's a real good question. You know, they have reverse mortgages in France and other countries as well. Take a second and think about, well, let me explain what a reverse mortgage is, and then I want you to think about it from the point of view of a banker. So you're retired. You don't have enough income. You can get a check in a lump sum or every month for some amount of money out of your house. And as long as you or your spouse, one of you remains alive, you can live in that house. Now, some people will die very quickly after they make such a deal. Some people will live 50 more years. But on the whole, from the point of view of the bank that's doing this, and it's Warren Buffett's Wells Fargo Bank that's most heavily promoting this,
really,
they will make a tremendous rate of return. This is the same basic thing you're seeing on TV with that company, I think it's called J.G. Wentworth, that says, you know, why are you getting a little stream of payments? We can put cash in your pocket today. Well, yes, and if you understand the economics of it, you're going to pay an interest rate somewhere in the 20% plus range. If you need the income in order to survive and you don't need to leave any money to your heirs, then a reverse mortgage may be a sensible thing to do.
As a rescue?
Hmm?
Keep from losing your home?
You can't. Well, the mortgage will be set up in such a way that you've got to basically own it free and clear, or they will incorporate your existing mortgage into the deal that they make. But properly done deals, and the big banks will do these, you should be able to stay in the house as long as you or and or your spouse is alive.
All right, Catherine, does that help you?
Yeah, somewhat. I'm still going to have to think it through, but thanks
well,
for the input.
Well, and let me just suggest that you get some professional advice, because this is an area where you could be fleeced. And
yes.
as David has pointed out, it could make sense under certain circumstances. But take a look at the your probability of how long you're going to live and anybody else, who's in your family there who's currently living in the house. And examine all those factors, because it really only fits a certain set of circumstances, as David helped us describe there a minute ago.
Okay, good. Thanks.
All right. Thank you for your call. Now, David, before we go to the next caller, I wanted to just reference your former paper. The New York Times had a great front page story with a long inner jump, as we call it. And the headline reads, Wall Street profits were a mirage, but the huge bonuses were real. And what this points out is that at some point, Wall Street moved from legal behavior to illegal behavior, yet the bonuses kept coming and coming and coming. And they show that $500 million in bonuses went out to Merrill Lynch employees alone in 2006. The number I've...
profits within a unit within the company, so that I can rake off a bunch of money and then leave the people in the future with this problem. That's what happened with General Electric and Jack Welch. And the contracts that most people who are paid this way have do not have what are called clawback provisions.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where there's fraud, where you can show there was fraud, there'll be clawbacks. But where it is simply an error in business judgment, they're generally not going to be able to recover this money. And that's part of the broader scheme of what's been going on here. We removed the tax police. We handcuffed or removed the tax police, the securities police, the banking police. And lo and behold, a bunch of sharp people went in and figured out how to make money. And, of course, there's always been far more crime committed at the point, in the modern world anyway, at the point of a pen than at the point of a gun.
Now, with that in mind, let's talk to Ben in Salinas. Hello, Ben. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Peter. Yes, addressing those very bonuses, why is it, we have to come to realization the robber barons are back in force, and boy, are they having a field day. Why are none of their assets being seized and these people winding up in prisons? And part two of my question is, the idea of standing in line, if you have AAA credit, to beg for a credit card that only charges you 30% and nobody's going to prison? Whose country is this?
Well, David, you can tell that Ben feels pretty strongly about this.
Indeed. Well, Ben, first of all, on the issue of, I agree with you, the robber barons have never sort of gone away. We just removed the control that held them at bay.
But who's
under,
we?
Under
who's we is the ones that belong in prison, too. They're complicit in this thievery, and it's not stopping with the national treasury. They're taking people's homes. Why should 2.5 more million families be homeless? This is going to be the blackest Christmas in history, and it's preventable. The criminals are there. We know who they are. We know what they've done. And yet they're going to go to Kenny Bumpy Pub for mommy's pudding, while other poor slobs are going to be in the streets or in a food line.
And the Times story points out today, Ben, that some of these schemes were concocted at Pebble Beach, where the wealthy Wall Streeters spent their bonuses and concocted new schemes.
Thank you,
right.
Peter.
The fundamental problem with, making those people who are the malefactors pay is that the way the government rules have been written, these folks are going to get away with it. And you think about that for a minute. Some guy steals a loaf, literally today, steals a loaf of bread because he's hungry. We throw you in jail. But if you come up with a scheme where you can rip off the company you work for a lot of money, because at the moment the accounting system says it works and 2 years from now it falls apart, oh, that was an error in business judgment. That's too bad. The question you need to ask in that one is, well, what was wrong with these companies? They have boards of directors. They're supposed to be looking out for the shareholders. They're supposed to be seeing to it that you don't have these kinds of systems. We don't have good corporate governance in America. You don't see people like me serving on corporate boards.
Yeah. Well, and David, I have long argued, and I know a little bit about the corporate structure. I wrote a little manual after I almost faced bankruptcy in a business deal that went south about incorporating and the benefits of it. And the corporate structure, I think, is brilliant. And if it were permitted to work, where the fiduciary roles of the directors prevented them from being so cozy with the CEO and rewarding him or her with all these stock options and bonuses that are based on the short-term quarter-to-quarter performance and sometimes based on failure, we would have a very much different system. If we simply operated the way it was designed, I think we would have prevented many of these problems.
Peter, I agree with you, and I've actually proposed a solution to this in a publication I write a column for called Tax Notes, which is, because you don't want to not reward those executives who really make a lot of money, serious, real money as opposed to phony money.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
And the solution to that is that you pay people their bonuses and other performance reward in stock in the company they work for. You then don't allow them to sell the stock as long as they work for the company, and when they leave, they can only sell 10% a year for 10 years. Now, one of the things this will do is encourage companies to pay significant dividends, but they have to pay them to all shareholders.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they have to pay them equally to all shareholders under my proposal.
And, do you,
then secondly, you're not going to walk away from the company as Jack Welch did with GE and suddenly everything falls apart because your fortune will fall apart. You're going to leave a sound company.
That makes a lot of sense. And how do you expense those bonuses and options?
Well, you charge them at the time that they are put into the executive's account. You just don't give the executive access to them.
Mm-hmm.
And a banker, you know, you're not without, think about it, if you're the executive here. So you made a $35 million bonus, Peter, because you were a brilliant trader in mortgages. And we put your money into that account, and you go to a banker and say, hey, look, I want to go buy this $5 million house, and look at all I have, this $35 million over here. I just can't take it. And the bank says, well, that's okay. Eventually we can take that money from you if you don't do it. They'll loan you the money. You will be fine. On the other hand, if they're wrong in the sense that you've really shorted the company's going to fire you. You can begin selling the stock. And they can begin to recover, and they may not recover all of it, and they're going to only loan you as much as they think they can recover if things go badly.
Yeah.
But we've got to figure out how to align these rewards so that we don't encourage people to cover up bad economics.
Well, David, I think that's a great scheme, and I'm fully behind it. So let's find a friendly senator to introduce it. David, it's always a pleasure. You really help us understand these issues. Thanks for spending time with us today.
Peter, thank you. Have a good holiday.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. However you celebrate it, I wish you all the best, and we'll talk to you in the new year.
Take care.
David K. Johnston, his most recent book is Free Lunch. It's coming out in paperback next week. Somebody go buy it. It's available at Amazon for less than $11, and there's a lot of good information in there. Ladies and gentlemen, I think we need a little dose of news. Every week we like to check in with the intrepid journalist R.J. Schulman, who publishes on the web at ptsd1.blogspot.com. That's the site of the Post-Times-Sun-Dispatch, and for some reason, he's got shoes on his mind this week. R.J., welcome.
Peter V., how are you doing this week?
All right. Are your shoes on and fully laced?
Yes, they are. We're definitely having a shoe epidemic in the world right now. I think things are actually now going to see an uptick in incidents where people are going to have shoes thrown at.
Well, it's happening already. There's some guy in New York at some obscure meeting of a commission who got thrown to the ground by guards as he attempted to throw his shoes. So shoe hurling has gotten big, and you've got the story that I hadn't heard about. Jesse Jackson Jr. has thrown his shoes at Governor Rod Blagojevich, shouting, "You dog, you ruined my reputation."
Yeah, that's exactly what's happened. I don't know why the mainstream media has missed this one, but it's a big, big story in Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one where Jesse Jackson Jr. got wrestled to the ground and was temporarily detained for throwing his shoes at the embattled governor.
Well, and this permits twisted journalists to really work up the shoe puns and other references. Here's one. Jackson, who up until the bribery scandal broke, was considered a shoe-in for the Senate seat left vacant by Barack Obama, has had his reputation tarnished by the Blagojevich bribery scandal. Here's a quote from William Slade of the Chicago Tribune, now in bankruptcy. Mr. Jackson's political career is now laced with controversy. Obama's successor has some pretty big shoes to fill, and now that the governor has stepped in, he will probably get the boot before he can fill the post. Oh, but that's not all. Some have called for the arrest and detention of Junior Jackson, who has defended himself by saying, well, before you criticize me, you should walk a mile in my shoes. Who did that song, Walk a Mile in My Shoes?
Oh, I can't remember. I should know this.
Joe South.
Joe South.
There you
right.
go. It took me a minute to come up with that one. All right. Next story is based on Donald Rumsfeld and his prediction that the Iraqis would be throwing not shoes, but flowers as the U.S. liberated that nation.
Yeah, he says that it was just a slight miscalculation that it was shoes that were thrown at us and not flowers, and that he was correct all along that we have been greeted as liberators.
Yeah. Well, and your quote from Rumsfeld is priceless here. Can you imagine what would have happened to that journalist if he'd thrown a shoe at Saddam? My God, that poor reporter would have been wrestled to the ground, arrested, tortured in some prison. But now that Iraq is a free country, all that happened to the shoe thrower was that he was wrestled to the ground, arrested, and tortured in some prison. That's proof positive that freedom is on the march. Wow, RJ, great reporting. That's right on the mark. And we got time for one final story here. Turns out that you believe, or you have sources who believe, or is this Fox News that believes, that Barack Obama sold the vice presidency?
Yeah, that's, Fox is going to be reporting this starting tomorrow, that they have sources that say that Barack Obama not only guided Governor Blagojevich to sell his Senate seat, but that he actually sold the vice presidency to Joe Biden. And Biden came up with all that money because of all his friends in Delaware who have those credit card companies.
Oh, he paid for it on credit cards. Isn't that
right.
Amazing? Harder to trace that stuff, I guess, huh?
It really is.
Right. And finally, RJ, this isn't in your reporting, but do you have any reason or any explanation of why Rick Warren of the Saddleback Church in Orange County, a known homophobe, was chosen to deliver the invocation at the Obama inauguration when Jeremiah Wright would have been the perfect choice?
That has everybody puzzled why it's not Jeremiah Wright. I mean, everyone expected that. And for it to be somebody who's anti-gay like that, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll find out something we don't know in the next few days.
Well, and I could just hear the reverberating soundbite from Reverend Wright. God damn, America elected a black guy. And Sean Hannity would have a great time with that. Well, RJ, thank you very much. You do great work. Nobody does what you do, and that's why people should go to your website, PTSD, the digit 1.blogspot.com. That's the Post-Time Sun-Dispatch. We've been talking with RJ Shulman. Thank you, sir. We'll take a break and return. You got a comment? I've got room for a call or two at 888-5-PETER-B. This is the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
Good evening, everyone. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. In King City, there is a traffic hazard at the Canal Street on-ramp to the northbound 101. And in Monterey, on Forest Lodge Road at Congress Avenue, a large tree has fallen, blocking the entire road. In Salinas, on the southbound...
Hi, I'm Debbie LaSala from LaSala's Buy Right Market in Delhi at 250 Casa Verde Way in Monterey. Buy Right has been a family-owned Monterey Bay treasure since 1938. Hungry for delicious sandwiches? Join the many LaSala regulars who love our tasty, hearty sandwiches prepared with fresh-baked Palermo bread. Eat in or grab on the run at LaSala's Buy Right Market in Delhi. Whatever your choice, we at LaSala's will greet you with Mon Pa hospitality and truly awesome meals. And remember, sandwich trays are also available for meetings and parties. LaSala's Buy Right Market in Delhi is located on the west side of Highway 1, exiting at 250 Casa Verde Way and going just past the first stop sign. For more information, call 372-6824. That's 372-6824. LaSala's Buy Right Market in Delhi, a Mon Pa treasure at your service for 70 years.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays
following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, the Scott Dick Show. Weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
There's more than one side to contemporary affairs. In fact, there's usually more than two sides. On Thursday nights at 10, listen in on KRXA 540, and you'll hear at least four. You'll hear the perspectives of Mark Leonard, Tony Rudy, Billy Sunshine, and me, Jack Hart. We have guests bring their own expertise and experience to their analysis of current events. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for a different perspective. And on September 4th, our show will expand to 2 hours, and we'll start at 9 in the evening and go through to 11. Join us here on KRXA 540.
Andy, did you hear about this one? Tell me, are you locked in the pond? Andy, are you goofing on Elvis?
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, now live in Boston, 6 to 9 p.m. on AM 1510. Be sure to catch Jeff Santos live in Boston on AM 1510 every weekday, 6 to 9 a.m.
Calling to the faraway towns, now war is declared, and battle come down. London calling to the underworld, come out of the cupboard, you boys and girls.
Yeah. 6 minutes in front of the hour. London's not calling, but it's even better. Daly City, California. Robert's on the line. Hi, Robert.
It had to happen, Peter.
Yeah.
In cyberspace, now apparently you can throw shoes at the illegal resident of the White House past two terms.
You got a URL for me?
I don't, but I imagine a client just showed it to me today. But if you, I'm sure if you Google shoe throwing game on the internet, you'll find it.
Okay.
It's kind of funny. But you're covered a lot of great ground here on the real estate issue as well. And I just wanted to give an aside to that. Apparently, someone who owns a home is worth 10 times more than someone who rents. If someone's making a real estate payment, a mortgage payment as a renter, doesn't that demonstrate an ownership interest? Shouldn't a rental be far less than the full price of a mortgage payment? I mean, do we really have this real estate thing all figured out? Shouldn't we reevaluate what renters and owners and all this kind of investment interest really comes down to?
Well, you know, you raise a very interesting point, because over the next few years, just based on what we heard from David K. Johnston, the value of properties will decline further. I hate to say that because it hurts me as much as anybody else, but I think that is the reality. And what I think will be interesting to see is, as the value of an apartment building comes down, and if they work out a new mortgage where they, you know, pay a rate that reflects the deflated value of that property, and if their property taxes go down, will those savings, will those cost reductions be passed along to renters? There's no guarantee of that. And even with rent control laws, you know, they don't work in that reverse mode. So I think you raised some very interesting questions. And I also think that we're going to have to come up with some kind of a new Homestead Act to allow people to take over the vacant foreclosed properties in this country, because it's the only way we're going to keep neighborhoods from collapsing entirely.
Chuck Reed in the Mercury News today was decrying 56 homeless people that died in 2008, saying we have to get them housing. Well, it's not a shortage of housing. There's housing all over the place. It's this whole system that we live under where, you know, that's not available to those people.
Well, and if we can socialize Wall Street, we can certainly bring some national socialism to ownership of properties and the renters who support and make wealthy the individuals who own those properties, usually, of course, heavily mortgaged by the banks.
Well, having a home is a basis for people to be productive. But I also wanted to make a comment toward Obama and the inauguration and the choice of speaker. It's a truly a mistake to put some opponent in there. Lincoln and Kennedy proved, I believe their administrations proved, that you do not put your political opponents close by you. In Obama's case, if Obama does not go after the prosecution of the Bush crime family the last two terms, then he's not, it's not change we can believe in, for one thing. And they will, when they feel free, they will attack him with everything they've got, just like they did Clinton.
Well, I'm afraid you're probably right, Robert. I want to jump to one more call before I run out of time. Thanks for joining me today. Margie in Oregon, you get the last word. Margie?
This is John in Carmel Valley.
Oh, John, I'm sorry. I'll talk to you later. Margie's got a quickie for me. Hi, Margie. I got you now. Go ahead.
Okay. It's just an idea for a bumper sticker. It says, hats off to GW, and then the hats are crossed off in handwritten shoes.
All right, Margie, thank you for that. And thanks for listening. It's always
Bye.
A pleasure to hear from you. I thank you all. We'll do it again tomorrow. Join me if you will.
Betrayals to you.
Share a podcast with a friend. The link is on my homepage at peterbcollins.com.
Again, happy trails to you.
Are you tired of paying $100 an hour for computer support just for the prompt to return? Hi, I'm Luke Ford, founder and CEO of My Computer Works. Whenever you have a major computer catastrophe or a simple question, give my U.S.-based computer technicians a call, and they'll remotely connect your computer and fix the problem for you. It's safe, secure, and you won't have to let a stranger into your home. Call now to receive 1 month of service free with a membership. Now let's hear from some of our satisfied customers.
They cleaned up the computer, and I sat there and watched everything going on. I was just having a ball.
So the convenience of having My Computer Works connect to my computer right then, fix it for me immediately, is priceless.
I was having a lot of major problems with my computer, and they basically evaluated the computer and went through and eliminated the problems I was having.
Call My Computer Works now, toll free, 888-629-9618. That's 888-629-9618. 888-629-9618.
My Computer Works. Does yours?
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Ever find a nasty surprise on your credit card bill? Thousands have complained, and now Washington has responded. CBS News correspondent Randall Pinkston reports.
On the eve of the biggest shopping weekend of the year, bank regulators gave consumers a present. Future rules to fine-tune the fine print for your credit card.
This is probably the biggest thing since the introduction of credit cards.
The biggest change, a new ban on raising interest rates unless a payment is 30 days late, or the card has a variable interest rate, or a promotional rate expires. Rates can also be raised on cards at least a year old if the consumer gets 45 days notice.
But the rules don't take effect until July of 2010. In the meantime, there's nothing to stop credit card companies from raising rates and cutting credit limits. President Bush today revived the notion of bankruptcy for troubled auto companies.
I am worried about a disorderly bankruptcy. And what it would do to the psychology and the markets.
The White House says it's seriously considering an orderly bankruptcy that would provide a soft landing, hopefully cushioning the blow for suppliers and dealers. A decision on what to do for the automakers is said to be close. The price of crude oil dropped to $36.56 a barrel today.
The collapse is unprecedented from the $147 a barrel level we saw just back in July.
Analyst John Kilduff says this price plunge reflects trouble in the global economy and weakening demand for oil. As Hillary Clinton prepares for her Senate confirmation hearings, her husband today released a list of donors to his foundation. Some people who donated to disaster aid after Hurricane Katrina are surprised to find their names on the list. CBS News correspondent Cheryl Atkinson explains.
Donations poured in before the Bush-Clinton-Katrina Fund was fully set up, so the former presidents held the money in two other charities, the Greater Houston Community Foundation and the Clinton Foundation. 4 months after the hurricane, the Houston charity passed more than $50 million on to the National Katrina Fund. A month after that, in January and February of 2006, the Clinton Foundation gave about $30 million. It's that pit stop in the Clinton Fund that officially turned those Katrina donors into Clinton donors, donors who expected their money to go directly